జయం విశుపాల పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నతిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశుపాల పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామ గుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namine. Namaste Sarasvadevam Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
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 అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాది సుపదాంబికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహజనలలితాం శ్రీరాధానందనశ్చ. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే. ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామినే. శ్రీ వర్షభానవి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్యా శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిదా శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంత ద్వంద్వహారిణే. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచిదానంద నామినే గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపనోగవరాయ దే. గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్తుం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః. వంచకల్పదరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. జయదాం సురదోబాంగోర్ మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వ పదాంభోజౌ రాధా మదన మోహనౌ. దివ్య వృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్నాగర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్నాశీల గోవింద దేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్నాసరసారంభీ వంశీ వటతట స్థిత कर्षण स्वनिर्गोभिर्गोपीनाथाश्रियेस्तु नाहम् तप्तलाञ्जन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराण मुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे भुल्लारविन्दाय तवत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपाः प्रपन्नवारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्ससुदीय भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसच्छाणूरमर्दनम् देवगी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटाजयद्रतजला गान्धार नीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधना वर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशवाम् पाराशर्यवजः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोल्कटम् नानाख्यानगकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनषल्पतैरहरः पेबीयमानन्मुदा भूयाद्भारतमङ्गज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिनः श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यल्कृपाधमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैर्सङ्गवदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्दियम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितदद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्दियम् योगिनो यस्यान्दम् न विदुसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
Last Sunday, when we were talking this about this Hastamalaka Gidam, at the end we mentioned about the mind. Mind is the cover of the self. Atma is covered by the mind. So, little by little, if we are able to remove that thing called mind from inside, from Antaryami will reveal himself through the gap that's given by the mind. Mind is nothing. What is mind? Mind is nothing but thought waves. Mind is discussed throughout Bhagavatam. Is it not? Mind is discussed throughout Bhagavad Gita. If you study this Hastamalaka Gita, how do you study Hastamalaka Gita? Hastamalika Gita is very close to Bhikshu Gita, and it's also very close to the Jadabharata's instructions to Rahugana. So you have to look at these three different episodes. Jadabharata's instructions to Rahugana, Bhikshu's realizations after he went through his difficult life, how he realized the truth. Now Hastamalaka, what he has got to say. When you look at, you will see they are all talking the same language about the mind. Krishna has spoken this. You can see how what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, how all of them took it on board and realized the truth. That's what you find here. Krishna says there in the fourth chapter that nahi jnanena sadrisham, 38th verse. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyade pavitram iha vidyade tat svayam yoga samsiddham kalena almani vindadi. Krishna is saying there is nothing in this creation which can purify you like the knowledge of the self, the absolute nature of the self-knowledge, self-realization, in other words. He's saying, nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram. There's nothing in this creation as pure as the knowledge of the self. Iha vidyade, tat svayam yoga samsiddham kalena almani vindadi. If you look at the translation, in this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who becomes accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. So, knowledge is, Krishna has spoken there. And again, in two verses before that also, Krishna mentions there, abhijedasi pabhebhya sarvebhya papakritama, 36. Sarvam jnana plavenaiva brujinam sandarishyasi. Krishna is saying, even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. Yeah. So, everywhere Krishna is saying this repeatedly of the strength of, because what is jnanam does, what does knowledge does? It does this one thing that we have, Krishna says, sarvam jnana plaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi. With the boat of knowledge, one should cross the ocean of ignorance. Boat of knowledge, one should cross the ocean of ignorance. That is why he mentions that therefore you can understand that mind is actually avidya. Avidya means mind. Mind is avidya. There is no separate avidya and separate mind. Mind is the avidya. Mind itself is our avidya. Mind is the avidya. So, and ajnanam, what we call it as ajnanam or avidya, is nothing but the mind. Nothing but the mind. And that mind, na hyasya avidya manase vijrumbhade. If you look into the Bhikshu Gita, you will see the same thing he is saying there. In a different way. He's saying there that nayam janome sukha dukha hedu na deval atma graha karma kala manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. I keep on going in this world. I found out who is responsible for this thing called mind. Manaparam karanam amanandi. Nobody else is responsible, he said. My own mind is responsible. So he caught hold of the mind there. And here also you can see that when Krishna is saying there, that in the Viveka Chudamani also, it's the same thing spoken in a different way. That how does this mind take birth? How is the mind born? We know very well that the mind is born when we come out of the deep sleep, isn't it? The first person to come out is our ahankara, false ego. With that, the mind is also born. Along with him, the mind is also born. So, Let's look at that verse, how the birth of the mind is spoken. How does the mind takes birth? Nahyasya vidya manasod manasodi rishtiktva mano avidya bhavabhanda hedu. Manasi savidya. And this mind is responsible for our bondage and for liberation, both. Bhavabhanda hedu. Bhavabhanda hedu. Tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam. Vijrumbhidosmin sakalam vijrumbhade. It's a beautiful verse in the Vivek Chidamani, exactly saying what the Bhikshu has spoken in the Bhikshu Gita. 169. Nahyast avidya manasodi rikta. Mano avidya bhavabhanda hetu tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam. When the mind is destroyed, all the avidya is destroyed. And vijrumbhadesmin sakalam vijrumbhade. When he takes birth inside, the mind takes birth inside, all the avidya also takes birth along with that. So understanding the mind, there is no ignorance outside the mind. Mind is the ignorance. Mind is the avidya. The mind alone is avidya, which is the cause of the bondage of transmigration of the soul. When that is destroyed, all else is destroyed, and when it is manifested, everything else is manifested. So is the powerful mind. That's why important to study these verses, particularly these three things. Jadabharata's instructions to Rahugana, and Krishna talking about Bhikshu, Bhikshu Gita, and Hastamalika, they all have to say the same thing, one thing to us, this mind. There is no other thing they have got to say. And you will notice this in the all things responsible for our problems is this mind. This is mind. There is no problem outside. Problem is all inside us. So, remember I mentioned before a story. Two children went from Tanjore to Benares to study Vedam. Just to tell you about how mind works. Two children, same age group, 10 or 12 years old, their parents sent them to Benares to study Vedam. From Tanjore, Tamil Nadu, they walked, those days they had to walk all the distance, such a long way. They walked, over 1,000 miles probably. So, these two boys, they went, and because they were together, both the families felt that they'll be alright, they'll manage it somehow. Together they are, if one something happens to another one, will let them know. In this understanding, they send them there. They got to Benares and they spent time there studying. And in the meanwhile, those days there was no possibility of sending messages or anything. Personally, messages were carried. Everything was carried personally, isn't it? So, in course of time, when there were students there, one of them got very sick and he died. It so happened he died. So the other person felt very difficult, but they had to convey the message to the parents, isn't it? So fortunately, there was someone traveling. Them days, Benares was a center of learning. And people were traveling all over to Benares, because Benares has got a whole setup there from all the acharyas, great personalities, all have as a center of excellence or center of learning, you could say, it was there. So somebody was walking back to Tanjore from Benares. So this boy who survived, he told this person, please go and convey the message to the parents of this boy, that and he gave the address, everything, whatever way he could, you know, those days thought it was like, there was no proper addresses. So he explained to them, in the village, such and such a house, he inquired. So he wrote it down, everything, and given it to him. And the messenger, he came to Tanjore after many, many days. He has walked, either due to the fatigue or whatever it is. When he got here, and when he delivered the message to the two families, because both the families, he told him, he delivered it in the wrong way. The boy who died, his parents, he went and told them that he is doing very well. And the other boy who is living, to his parents, he went and told them that he is dead and gone. Like this. So what happened now? One family felt very happy that the son is okay, he is getting on well.
the other family felt very unhappy. Although what happened here in Benares was a different story, when the message got here, it whole thing changed. Now who is responsible? The mind. Mind is responsible for that. So mind takes things from the world and operates on the basis of that. This is the nature of the mind. If the information what you feed into the mind is not correct, then you could have a lot of suffering in life. So that's a lesson to learn from there. So you can see here that all the distress also is the sankalpam of the mind. Mind is imagining things and suffering there. Self has no misery. Self is always blissful. But who is suffering then? The mind is suffering, isn't it? So all the distress is in the mind. And wherever you are, if you have managed to control, get this mind under control, then you can be in Shanti. In Shanti. Wherever it may be. That is why Krishna is stressing the Shanti so much in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, how many places Krishna has spoken Shanti? Have a look at that. See how many. Krishna has, nothing else Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita except about the Shanti inside. What does he say? If you look at that second chapter, beginning from there, the 66th verse, you will see 62-66. Yeah. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya naja yuktasya bhavana naja abhayada shandir ashandasya kuta sukham. Beginning with Shanti. Naja bhavayada shandir ashandasya kuta sukham. One who is connected with the Supreme can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no. One who is not connected with the Supreme can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? That's the first question Krishna is asking us. Na cha bhavayada shandir ashandasya kutas sukham. Ashandasya kutas sukham. He says, where is the question of any happiness in this world when there is no shandi inside? And then if you go, 70 verse. Abhuryamanam ajala pradishtam samudramaba pravishandi yadwal tadvat kamayam pravishandi sarve sashandim apnodi chaka apnodi nakama kami. Again about shandi, he says tadvat kamanyam pravishandi sarve sashandim apnodi nakama kami. He says a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Another verse about Shanti. Then look at the next verse, he says. Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumams charadinispraha nirmamo nirahankara sashandim adhigachari. Sashandim adhigachari. Who will reach that stage? He's saying here, Vihaya kaman yasarvan pumam sharade nispraha nirmamo nirahangara sashandim adhigachari. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. He alone can attain real peace. What Krishna is saying there is that it's an exchange that you have to make. Hand over ahankaram to Krishna and you get shanti back from Krishna. That's the deal. Hand over your false ego to Krishna and Krishna gives you shanti to the mind. He says here, nirmamo nirahangara sa shanti madigacchadi. One who has devoid of false ego alone can attain real peace. So again Krishna says about Shandi there. Go into the 5th chapter. What does Krishna says there? 12th verse, if you look, you will see there what Krishna has to say. Yukta kama bhalam tyaktva
Shandim Apnoti Naishtikim. Shandim Apnoti Naishtikim. Ayukta Kamakarena Phale Sakto Nibhadyate. Krishna is saying, the steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace, Shandi, because he offers the result of all activities to me, whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. Again talking about where will Shanti will come from. Krishna is explaining that. And then if you go into the sixth chapter, look at the verse 6:15. What is Krishna saying there? He's saying that Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasa shantim nirvana paramam val samstam adigachati. Shantim nirvana paramam val samstam adigachati. Thus practicing constant control of the body, mind and activities, the mystic transcendentalist, his mind regulated, attains to the kingdom of God by cessation of material existence. Again, shantim nirvana paramam, that shanti, peace, that is the attainment finally. Nirvana paramam sashamat samstam adhigachadi. Then if you go into 12th chapter, 12th verse. 12th chapter, 12th verse. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyade dhyanal karma balatyagam tyagal shanti anandaram. Finally, that's the result. Again and again, Krishna is stressing this. You have to take notice of this, how important Shanti is. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasa jnanal dhyanam vishishade dhyanal karma balatyagam tyaga shanti anandaram. We discussed this verse when we discussed that chapter. So, tyagal shanti anandaram, it says here, that finally attains Shanti. Now go to 18th chapter, 62 verse. 1862. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharatam tal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsisi shashvadam. This part of Bhagavad Gita is an important part. Ishara paramak Ishara sarvabhudanam hrdeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmin sarvabhudani yadrarudhani maya. After saying that, Krishna is saying tameva sharanam gacha. Andaryami, surrender unto him. Sarva bhavena bharata, by all means. Then what will happen? Tal prasadal param shandim. Shandi will come. By his being pleased, Andaryami being pleased. Sthanam prapsesi shashvadam. So, shashvada sthanam is shandi. Final. So, throughout Bhagavad Gita, if you are carefully study, you will notice this. Krishna is repeatedly stressing this one thing called shandi. Shanti is the nature of Atma. You know, Atma's nature is not emotions or excitement. Shanti. That's Shanti. That is why if you look at Vishnu Sahasranamam, how does it begin? Shandakaram, Bhujagashayanam, Shandakaram. Agaram itself is Shanti. Vishnu's form is Shanti. Shandakaram, Bhujagashayanam, Palpanabham, Suresham, Vishwagaram, Gagana Sadrasham, Meghavarnam, Shubhangam. So, Shanti is the actual word in the Shastram for Atma. Shandoyam Atma. Atma is nothing but Shanti. If there is Shanti in a person, you can say that person has some realizations. If there is no Shanti, always disturbed and agitated, that means there is no realization inside. That's what it is, indication of that. Shandoyam Atma. So, that is why we are discussing. Now, one thing is that when we discussed about this, our Asavala Sotram mentioned there that once this mind goes away, then Atma will appear. Atma will show its presence. It will come through that gap of the mind. And once a mind gives us that gap, Atma has the capacity to come out through that. And once the mind starts moving, which is called Vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means the mind's movement.
The word in the Shastram is Vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means the movement of the mind. That means thought waves have come and it started agitating the mind. So, when that happens, another word used is Vikshepam. Vikshepam, when a lot of Vikshepam happens inside, it is at that time when we experience the distress in life. When this Vikshepam comes in, we experience the distress of life. If there is no Vikshepam or no Vijrambhanam of the mind, and the mind is not there, then there is total shanti inside. Because there is nothing there to cover the Atma. So these two states mind has got, one is called the Vikshepam and the other one is called blocking that Vikshepam, called Nirodham. So Vikshepam Avaranam is the nature of the mind. But when the mind gets rectified, when the mind is purified or mind is controlled, comes under control, then that state is called Nirodham. 10th canto of Bhagavatam is called Nirodham, you know. Atrasarga visargasya sthanam poshanam udaya vanandaram ishanikata Nirodham. Nirodham is 10th canto. How to control this mind? That is 10th canto. So, Vikshepam Nirodham. This is from another angle. Vikshepam Avaranam is the normal conditioned nature of the jiva. Under Maya, it has got Vikshepam and Avaranam. When there is no Vikshepam Avaranam, the third state called Layam comes. Layam. That's what happens in Sushupti. Where does he go mind in the Sushupti? In the deep sleep? Layam. He goes into Layam. So, Vikshepam means the mind which is like this. Always in a disturbed state. Arjuna said this to Krishna also, isn't it? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. So, Arjuna said this and he looked at Krishna's face. What Krishna has to say about the mind? Krishna understood that Arjuna is looking for some confirmation, what he was saying. So, Krishna says to him, Asamshayam Mahabaho. There's no doubt. The mind is the problem. There's no other problem. So, Krishna, Arjuna said that to Krishna, isn't it? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadhi valaval dridam. Then what am I supposed to do with it? It is the most difficult thing to control. So, looking at Arjuna's face, Krishna understood that he wanted somebody to agree with him, what he is saying. And that is how, if you look at Krishna's reply in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. He says, mind is the most difficult thing, Arjuna. There is no doubt about that, he said. So, Nirodha means that state where it is not operating. Mind is not in a disturbed state. There is no mind. There is a state like that where there is no thought waves coming. You are just situated in the self. There is no thought waves. In other words, you are established in the yourself. And apart from these two, there is another state which is called the sleep state. Deep sleep state, isn't it? So, normally, we don't have this state called Nirodham. Is it not? Normally, we don't have Nirodham. And Vikshepam, we have plenty. We have plenty. So, what happens to us? When we come out of Vikshepam, we go into sleep state. We have only the two modes like that. Either Vikshepam or Nidra, sleep. That Nirodham state, we don't experience that. Normally we don't experience that. That is the reason why we fall asleep in Satsangam. Because of this. That Nirodham state we haven't experienced it yet. Either we are always thinking, some so many things are coming through the mind and thoughts. And when the thoughts are not there, immediately fall into sleep. Isn't it? Nirodham. So, mind has got this nature, it has to always keep thinking about something. And suppose it cannot think about anything, and if you withdraw that, then if you withdraw from that thinking process, then we don't know what to do with the mind. This is our normal situation with almost everybody, is it not? We find that very difficult. I've all the time something you are thinking. So many things are coming through the mind. So, and therefore, we are unable to do anything about it. And therefore, because we don't know how to do with the mind goes to sleep straight away. So, that is its nature. If you withdraw the mind, it will go to sleep. And if you pull it back, it will go to sleep.
But it should not sleep and it should not move. That is what we are looking for. It should not go to sleep. And if you manage to get rid of these two, that means it shouldn't sleep and also it should not move. And that state is called yogam, yoga state. That is the state of a yogi. Yogi's mind is not moving or it's not sleeping either. Patanjali calls it as chittavritti nirodham. Chittavritti nirodham. So how is that possible? And if you practice meditation, if that is possible? No, it is not possible because meditation and all that is like this. Have you seen the snake charmers? What they do? They play the music and the snake keep looking this way, that way, this way, that way. Similarly, but the moment you stop the music, the snake will show its true colors. And for a short period of time, you are managing to keep the snake under control by playing this music. Playing this music. Because that is the reason why they say, the reason for the same thing with the mind also. Temporarily through meditation, you can control it for a short period of time. Even if you succeed in that way, through proper meditation, dhyanam process, which is normally in the sixth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. If you follow all that, and if you manage to control the mind, you can control it for a short period of time. But as soon as you come out of the meditation hall, it's gone. It's only like in the snake's case. Snake you can only control for a short period of time. After that, the snake will jump up. So, what is the reason? Because inside us, there is this thing called vasana. Vasana is there inside us. And therefore, and these vasanas have not gone away. That is the reason why the mind is coming back again to us. You see? So much vasanas inside, and vasanas won't allow that the mind to go into that state of nirodham. It won't allow that state to go into nirodham. You will see this, Krishna says this to Muchukunda. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see this in the Muchukunda's prayers. At that time, what Krishna says to Muchukunda? Krishna saying there that the, it is the 51 chapter, 1051. And the how Krishna puts it to him, in the very end he says to him, 61, verse 61. He says, Yunjananam abhaktanam pranayadibir manaha akshina vasanam rajan drishyade punaruthidam. That is Krishna's explanation to that. He says, Yunjananam abhaktanam pranayamadibir mana. You may control the mind by all means. You can control the mind by various means. You say, abhaktanam will be very, very difficult. If there is no bhakti, it will be very difficult. Pranayadibhir maya. Pranayama is meant for controlling because pranan and mind is connected very closely. Pranan is very closely connected to the mind. So if you practice pranayama, you can control the mind. But Krishna is saying here, even then, akshina vasana rajan, if the vasanas have not gone away from inside, drishyade punaruttidam, again it wakes up, comes back. Drishyade punaruttidam, we see that the mind is coming back again. So Krishna has hit the nail there. He says the problem is vasana inside. If you have vasana, so you can go to a yoga institute or any kind of, the yoga process, you can, Ashtanga yoga process, you can try and practice Dhyana Yogam. And then you may find that you can control the mind for a short period of time, as long as you are sitting in that dhyanam state, meditation state. The moment you come out, Krishna is saying, akshina vasanam rajan drishyade punaruthide. Vasanas have not gone inside, so those vasanas will come back and will come, make that mind to come back to its chittavritti stage, thought waves again. So therefore, if the vasanas have not gone away, vasana kshayam, it is called. If without vasanas going away, whatever sadhana you follow, you try in this life, pranayama or any other yoga process, And if the vasanas have not gone away, whatever sadhana you do, it won't get the mind under control, Krishna is saying here. So what is the solution then? If it is like that, because mind itself is a vasana. This mind is a very tricky thing. We don't understand actually what this, everybody says mind, mind, mind. What does this mind means? Mind is nothing but vasana. And chittavritti is nothing but vasanas inside, isn't it? So, yesterday we were discussing also last Sunday that now and then that when the mind is under a little bit controlled, the causal body, karana shariram, it will give you a gap in the mind. It will give you a gap in the mind. And it is through that gap you are experiencing the presence of Atma inside, soul inside. So, mind has got, you can imagine, think about the mind in another way. How a mind has been discussed so much in the Upanishads, so much in the Bhagavatam, so much in the Bhagavad Gita. It's all about the mind, all about the mind. So, in three planes you can look at this mind. So, first thing is, on the most gross form, if you look at the mind, for example, you're looking at, I'm looking at so many different people now here, and this is one level how the mind is operating. And that you can easily understand how the mind is operating, a name and a form, it's presenting, and the mind is accepting the name and form, isn't it? A name and form, it's accepting. So this is one level. A little bit on a subtle side, when you get a little bit more finer and subtle, mind operates on another plane, you can see, which is in the dream state. You see that? What happens in the dream state? In the dream state, when you look at the mind, how independently he acts. Now, in the vacant state, because the body is present there, ego is present there strongly, intelligence is there, so the mind is not totally free to do what he wants to do. Whereas the moment you go into the second plane, called the dream state, he has full freedom to act whichever way he likes. And that is why most of the vasanas comes in the dream state much more prominently in us, in the dream state. They manifest in a much more elaborate level than in the vacant state. In the vacant state, you don't see so much vasanas presence. But vasanas come much stronger in the dream state. So, and that is the time when you start wondering things you have never thought about, the mind is managed to create that in that state of dream state, isn't it? You must have never thought about it, but mind has created that in the dream state for us and make ourselves in a difficult situation. So, for example, you can't even say what you are going to dream tonight, can you? The very nature of the mind is like that. You can't even dream, say what today, in the day, you can't say what I'm going to dream tonight. That is how it is. That is how much control we have got on all these things, isn't it? So, nothing you can predict about the mind is saying. So, and things which you have never thought about in your mind, in your vacant state, they all come in the dream state. They all come in the dream state, they appear at that time. So, where did they come from? They came from the karana shariram, from the causal body. That's where it was there. That is to indicate to us that the vasanas, what we are talking about, they are very strongly present inside. You know these three bodies, which one? Sthulam, Sushmam, Karanam. That we have to know very well. Because it's so important in Vedantam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam also, that where is this mind playing its game? Where is it getting its food? It's getting from the karana shariram. Karana shariram is very free to give everything the mind wants in the sleep dream state. That is why he is so active. Mind is looking for some information, and karana shariram feeds this vasana mandalam, what is called the stack of vasanas inside us in the karana shariram, that is fed into the mind, into the sushma shariram. Sushma shariram is the mind. And that is why in the dream state, you have a lot more big manifestation of the mind than in the vacant state. Than in the vacant state. So when you get time, these are interesting things to think about, is it not? Rather than thinking about all other troubles in this world, job and family and all kind of things. It's better to invest time in these things. It's rewarding, worthwhile. You'll notice these things, that how the mind, when you go into the dream state, the causal body or karana shariram, which is the body of our body in the deep sleep state. So, jagrat, sopnam, sushupti, stulam, sushmam, karanam. Three bodies in three different states, isn't it? So, stulam means jagrat. In jagrat says, what's the problem? Mind is not fully independent. He has limitations. So therefore, he only reports things the way he sees things. And namarupam, that's all it's limited to in the stulam state. But when he goes to sushmam, or in the dream state, see how independent he is. And you start wondering, where is he getting all this information from? He is creating such world which we hadn't even thought about, and you can't even predict about it. He gets everything from that karana shariram. Karana shariram supplies all the, and that's all the vasanas. That is the indication of all our vasanas are there, very much inside every one of us. In that karana shariram is nothing but, it is called vasana shariram. Another name of karana shariram is vasana shariram. That vasana comes out, and that is what Krishna is saying here. If you have not killed your karana shariram, no matter what yoga process you are following, as soon as your yoga process stops, karana shariram will come out. Vasanas will come out. That's what Krishna is saying. See there? To Mujugunda, he said this to him. Because Mujugunda spoke all these things. And Krishna says to him, your karana shariram is not pure yet. There is problems there. Because you as a king have done a lot of things in this world. The kings have a lot of responsibility, isn't it? And that is there inside. Krishna could see that. And said to Mujugunda that you have to go and perform penances to purify that karana shariram. Purify the karana shariram. Krishna, here darshan of Krishna, and Krishna is saying to him like this, you are not ready yet to go back to the spiritual world. Go to Badrinath and perform penances there and send him there. Krishna sends everybody there. Uddhava also, he said, you go there. And whatever I have spoken to you, reflect on that, he says to him. Krishna is not easy. He is not going to take us so easily like that. So he says, so this is the point that from karana shariram, or from the causal body, it comes to the sushma shariram. Sushma shariram. It comes to karana shariram to sushma shariram. This happens in the night. So, sopnam or dream state, you have certain things have come. Some of your vasanas have come out. That is why Paramacharya used to say this. He said, if you are dreaming about Krishna, then you can say you are becoming Krishna conscious. But if you are not dreaming about Krishna, then it's very difficult, he said. That means there is still a long cleanup required inside. A lot of cleaning up is required inside. So, but some of the things from the karana shariram has appeared in the dream state. But there are many things still hasn't appeared. It is lying in the karana shariram. And that we don't know. Because all the vasanas in the karana shariram won't come in the dream state. Some strong ones will come out. There may be some weaker ones, but it will still be there. And normally you can see these three planes. Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. Three planes. So it is a great insight to know these things, because we are now thinking that I am woken up. I am in the vacant state, isn't it? But while we are in this vacant state, behind this, there is a big deep sleep there going on. And it was not spoken in a poetical way, but it was spoken in a truthful way. That means that between us, the self, and our present awareness of what we are doing now in the vacant state, there is this thing called deep sleep. And that is what is called avaranam. Avaranam is a deep sleep. Under, deep inside us, the Atma, awareness, consciousness is there. And we are conducting vyavaharam in the vacant state. So in our this present existence in the vacant state, and that real self who is inside, untouched by anything, there is this strong curtain, and that is deep sleep. That is deep sleep. And because it is after that, these three things come. Which one? So dream state, vacant state, and all the vikshepam. Before we travel back to that Atma, self inside, you have from this vacant state, you go into the dream state. And then there is that big curtain, very thick curtain, tamasa, which is the sleep, avaranam it is called. And in the vacant state, we have got this vikshepam, which comes in the thought source. So, first thing that covers the Atma is the sleep, And on top of that, we are installing the other ones. Which one? The vacant state and the dream state. We don't have a direct access to Atma. This is why that Karana Shariram and Sushupti state is important because of that. Even if you have come out of this vacant state and the dream state, still there is a barrier called the deep sleep there. So the deep sleep is a very thick barrier between us and the Atma. So on top of Atma, there is a deep sleep first, and on top of that, the vacant state and the dream state. Dream state, and then the vacant state, and then there is a vikshepam on top of all that. You see? So, there is a lot of barriers you have to pass through before you get into Atma. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, what it does is that sleep, first of all, covers the Atma. It does not allow you to have any access towards Atma. What's interesting here is, in the deep sleep state, you have enjoyed the sleep. You have experienced the bliss of Atma. But what happened? You didn't know what Atma is. That's why when you wake up in the morning, all you can say is the good time you had. But you couldn't say from where the time, that good time had come. That you couldn't say that. Why? Because of this curtain of sleep. Thing called sleep. So, in that deep sleep state, what's happening is, all your vasanas are dormant, lying low inside. So sleep means is nothing but is a bed of vasanas. When we sleep in the night, we are sleeping on that bed of vasanas. Vasana is our bed. Because vasana goes inside, you will see vasana mentioned everywhere in the Bhagavatam. In different ways it's spoken. How vasana influences everything in our life. How vasana? Who knows how what vasanas one has got? Some vasana like this in the Parikshit made him to go and take that dead snake and put it on the throat. It's a vasana. Nothing but a vasana inside. Ajamila, in spite of the fact that he went and fallen into the hands of that prostitute's life, he associated with her and this, that, and so many things happened in poor man's life. It says that Vasana Belal Juhava Narayana Namakam Sudam. He felt like giving the name of Narayana to his son. Why? Vasana Belal. Vasana Belal Juhava. The power of the Vasana. It is such an important thing, this Vasana. If we understand it properly, then we know what a battle we have got to fight against. Vasana Belal Juhava Narayana Namaham Sudam. And that small vasana inside what he had prompted him to give the name Narayana to the son. All other children he gave all other funny names. Like we do. He gave all other names. But somehow or the other, for the last one, what prompted that? What made him to think like this? The last one, an attachment towards him, and he gave him the name Narayana. And that saved him also in one way at the end, isn't it? Everything he was inquiring about, has Narayana been fed? Has Narayana been clothed? Has Narayana had slept well? All every day, whole day inquiring about Narayana. And finally when the Yamadutas came, he calls him for calling Narayana. Not thinking about Krishna he called, thinking about his son. The last son he called Narayana. So, So, when we are in the deep sleep state, all that vasanas are in a very dormant state. So, sometimes it will flow into our dream state. From the deep sleep state, it will flow into the dream state. So, karana shariram. Karana shariram is the causal body. That will come into the dream world. The causal body will come into the dream body. And and purifying that karana shariram, that causal body or karana shariram, is called vasanakshayam. Vasanakshayam means purification of that karana shariram. That is what it is called, vasanakshayam. So that is what Krishna is saying to Mujukunda. That even if you do meditation, that's okay, he said. But if your vasanas are not cleaned up inside, the same problem will come back as soon as you come out of the meditation or dhyanam state. So, to understand why we are discussing all these things is, it is not just these verses in the Hastamalaka Gita. You have to see where all these verses are coming from, and Hastamalaka is speaking. Therefore, it requires all this background understanding. So, vasanakshayam. What does vasanakshayam mean? Vasana means that when the vasanas comes out, one after the other, you have to ask the question, who is having these vasanas? Who is experiencing these vasanas? when we hear about all these things, sometimes it's a little bit disturbing. We don't know what vasanas we have got inside, isn't it? because it is our experience in us that they are inside there. when these vasanas are coming up inside, there is somebody who is experiencing them. Is it not? There is someone who is experiencing them. For example, when you get angry, you can see who is experiencing the anger. It's coming. I am experiencing the anger. And who am I who is experiencing the anger? So, so when you ask that question, you can see your attention has drawn away, gone away from the anger to you. Because you are asking the question, who is experiencing it actually? This requires certain steadiness inside. That every time when a strong emotion comes, anger particularly, when anger comes, if you have that presence of mind to ask this question, where is, who is having this anger, who is experiencing this anger, at that time you will see that attention has gone away and you started thinking the attention is on you more than the anger, And if you ask that question, who am I, at that time you will see that that's Purana. Purana means that the manifestation of yourself will come through that time, So if you keep building up that inquiry process strongly, in due course of time, this anger and all other emotions is coming for the ahankaram, is it not? Due to presence of the false ego inside, that is where you are experiencing all these things. Atma still never touched by the anger or lust or greed or envy or pride or competition or any of those qualities what we talk about has no access to Atma. All it can go is only up to ahankaram, false ego. So ahankaram is the one which is enjoying the pride, which is enjoying the or which is suffering the criticism, which is taking the insult, which is enjoying the praise, which is all emotions is working with the ahankaram, not with the self. Is it not? So the moment when you ask this question, when anger comes, who is having this anger? At that time you realize it that it is ahankaram who is having. It's only due to my ahankaram inside I am experiencing that. At that time ahankaram give way and the self comes. Then you know who, what self means. Real self, you start knowing that. This all requires a lot of contemplation. This is what Bhikshu did. This is exactly what the Bhikshu did in the Bhikshu Gita. What did he do? When everything happened, he says, Nayam janome sukha dukkha hedu. They are not responsible. Nobody is responsible. My own ahankaram is responsible for this. That is surrender. Surrender means this. That jnani does it through analysis. Always analyzing it. Every time. When he gets criticized, he says, who is experiencing the pain? Who is experiencing the insult in the world? And who, when somebody praises him, who is saying, who is experiencing the praise? That is the point when you can get him. Who? False ego. Otherwise he won't come out easily. You won't know because you identify with him. That's the problem. But at this time, when you get criticized particularly, when you get insulted, or when you get rudely spoken, at that time the ego gets hurt. And if at that time if you ask the question, you will know that it is the ahankaram that is the cause of this. And that ahankaram will give way at that time. But when you ask the question, who is having it? He moves away. Remember that story I mentioned, that the bride and the bridegroom marriage happened. Remember? Both bride party was there, bridegroom party was also there. So this one man thought that it's a nice time to have a good feast. He went into the marriage. And the bride party thought he must be a member of the bridegroom's party. It can happen easily. And bridegroom people thought he must be a member of the bride's party. He took advantage of this situation. Both of them, they didn't want to ask him who he is or anything, because he is acting as though he is a member of the whole, a man who is doing everything organizing, and he had a good feast also. But some people started doubting about him and wanted to find out who he is, what he is, because they have not seen him. Generally, both will know each other to some extent, isn't it? Bride and the bridegroom's family members all will know each other. So they started inquiring. He sensed that I am under investigation. So what did he do? He just left the scene and went away. Ahankaram is exactly like that. Ahankaram will go when you find that you are getting him, you are catching him. If you don't catch him, he will play his role inside and you will suffer. That's all. So that is the point here also, that it comes from the same place. The mind is born. It's the same place where ahankaram is also born. Both are coming from the same place. They are not real. Like ahankaram is not real, mind is also not real. These are all unreal things inside us. So, so when you inquire, you will see that it is coming from that place called Hrit. Remember, Hrit. So, and it is the same place where the mind is also coming from, both from the same place. So, ahankaram is coming from that place, mind is coming from that place, pranana also comes from the same place, Hrit. Remember that? The presence where Atma is present there. So, but the mind is dependent on the ahankaram. You can see that. In the morning when you wake up, the first thing who wakes up is ahankaram. I am. I woke up. Isn't it? I. First I wakes up. And then the mind wakes up. So, the mind is dependent on the ahankaram. And mind is nothing but another force that's coming from the frame Atma. Same Atma. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, how it's put is that Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti Surubini. She is addressed like that. Because she is that presence inside Maya when she, how she wakes us up in the morning. Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti Surubini. Three things. So Kriya Shakti is that pranan. Kriya Shakti is pranan. Ichcha Shakti is the mind. And Jnana Shakti is the buddhi, intelligence. Say, you will see one force spoken in three different ways. Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti Surubini. Kriya Shakti is pranan. Ichcha Shakti is the mind. Jnana Shakti is the intelligence, buddhi. So, all these are coming from the same source, from the same point, isn't it? So, all of them are dependent on one thing. The root of all that is I am, ahankaram. I am is that ahankaram, I, ahankaram. Ahankaram. So, if the ahankaram, I am not there, then other things are not there. Which one? Pranan is not there, mind is not there, intelligence is not there. So, in the night time, when everything gets dissolved, Ahankaram also gets dissolved. Because while deep sleep state, that's what happens. You lose your body, you lose your mind, you lose your intelligence, you lose your ego. Everything gets dissolved. So the last thing who goes to sleep is ego. The first thing who wakes up in the morning is ego. Ahankaram wakes up first in the morning. But Ahankaram is the one who goes to sleep last. Is it not? You can see, analyze it, think yourself, you'll know that. In the dream state, mind is there, Ahankaram is there. But in the deep sleep, mind goes away, and then finally, you fully falls asleep, totally in deep sleep, Ahankaram is gone at that time. Layam, it is called layam. So, and at that time you can see, in the day we are man, woman and all that, we address ourselves in that way, say Mr., Mrs., Shriman, Shrimati, everything. In the deep sleep state, where is man, where is woman? They are also gone, is it not? And there is no thought about the world at that time, nothing. And as soon as you wake up in the morning, the whole thing, army comes back, one after the other. So, it is only after that, I am saying that I am such and such a person, and I am sleeping in this place, and I am living in this area. All these kind of things are after that. After you have woken up, only one after the other, it follows, isn't it? So, therefore, this Ahankaram is called Prathama Vikaram. Prathama Vikaram means the first emotions. First one. Prathama Vikaram. It is the first ego, is the first one that wakes up. So, and Ahankaram is something that is very, very certain. So, the interesting thing here is, you may have doubt about God. Will God exist or not? Is it not? But you can't have a doubt about yourself, can you? About Krishna you may have a doubt. Does Krishna exist? Because people say all sorts of things. So you can have a doubt about Krishna. But you can't have a doubt about yourself, that you existing. Nobody, without any doubt, you can. So, we have that question sometimes. Who is God? And what is his identity? And things like that. All that is a confusion. So, here, in this case, there is no confusion. Which one? In case of Ahankaram, there is no confusion. Everybody knows about that. And there is no doubts at all. So, we all know that one thing we are all sure about is my own existence. I am 100% sure that I exist. Awareness is there in me. Isn't it? So, whether you belong to Advaitam, or Dvaitam, or Vishishta Dvaitam, or Achindya Bheda Bhedam, or Shuddha Dvaitam, whatever it may be, they will all tell you this one thing, find out who you are, before finding out who God is. If you find out who you are, you will know a lot of this confusion will go from inside. So, and these discussions about Dvaitam, Advaitam and all, is all after that, after finding out who you are, only after that you have to discuss it. Before that, discussing has no meaning. Because when you don't know what you... Sometimes you will see some people get involved too seriously into this discussion about Dvaitam, Advaitam, Vishishta Dvaitam and all other things. That at this stage is not much meaningful because you don't even know who you are and you are discussing something which is totally out of your own limitations. So, in this situation... The first thing everybody agrees is that, the first thing, who am I? That is the first question to answer. And is in this body, I'm feeling an awareness in me, my existence here. That awareness, I am, and that is the mind. It's in the mind I'm experiencing that. And that itself is the root of the mind or Ahankaram. Ahankaram is that I am. And mind is completely dependent on this Ahankaram. Mind is completely dependent on this Ahankaram. How we have to understand that is, that from Alpa is the source, from all these things are coming. Force is only one. It's a force that comes from the Alpa. And that force takes these different identities, ahankaram, mind, intelligence and chittam, the four things that is happening there. So, in a very subtle level, following it up through, that is what Shastram is saying to us. And if you continuously give attention to that, you will know that you will become aware of the birth of this ahankaram inside, when you become more subtle in that way. When you are on a gross level, it's very difficult to follow that. But when you become more and more inward looking and more conscious of the birth of this false ego, you will notice when it is taking birth and when it is going to deep sleep state, when it is dissolving itself. So, and once you have identified that point where it is happening, mind will find it very, very difficult to stay there, because the nature of the mind doesn't want to stay inside. He wants to go to the world. That's the nature of the mind. Mind wants to wander around all the time. And after wandering around a lot in this world, it will learn a lesson. Mind will learn a lesson. You have to wander a lot here. And then you will learn a lesson that there is nothing outside. You have to come to that conclusion yourself by wandering in this world. It is at that time Vairagyam comes. Vairagyam comes to a person. It is at that time when Vairagyam comes to a person, the mind slowly closes its business of going to the world and start going inwards. So, there is an example given to all these things to make us a little bit more clarity in all these things, to understand that mind is wandering around all over lifetime. That's what's happening, isn't it? Whole day, the mind is outside in the world. And when will that go inside and stay quietly inside without wandering around outside? So many chittavrittis are coming constantly. For example, when you see some person, you get angry with somebody, and some another person, you feel happy to see somebody. Mind is responding to the world whom you are meeting up with in this world. So, there is a state when mind stops this business and goes inside and stays put there. So, when will the mind will get fed up with the world outside? So, and when will it get ready to go inward and stay inside? So, so somebody went up to Maharshi to ask this question. At that time, Maharshi was present there. What Maharshi was doing, Maharshi understood that when the person came, one of the devotees at that time, he came to Maharshi to ask this question. When will the mind stop this work outside and start going inwards? He wanted to ask this question. When he went to see Maharshi, Maharshi understood that he had this question inside. So when he got inside, what Maharshi was doing was, Maharshi was very fond of all the different animals, like the cows, monkeys, squirrels, even dogs. He used to pat them all and feed them also. All kinds of goats, things like that. Deer, they were all in the ashram at that time. So when this devotee went there to ask this question, what was happening was, there was a squirrel there, and all these animals and these squirrels and everything, they used to come very close to him and sit with him in the lap. And Maharshi used to pat them, and he had such a relationship with them. This is due to, because inside there is no enmity, ragadvesham has completely gone from inside. You can see this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life also. Remember when he was in the Jharikhand forest, he was dancing, chanting and dancing, and the animals were coming, who tigers and leopards and all, and he was patting them nicely, and they were also dancing. Why? Animals knows that if you have ragadvesham inside, you will have a fear inside about the animal. That is why they react violently towards us. But if that ragadvesham has completely gone from inside, and it is clean sheet, there is no mind inside, then there is no fear inside about them. And they will relate with you very closely without any barrier in between. So when he came, this devotee came to ask him this question, Maharshi was fond of the squirrels. And there was one squirrel which had delivered half a dozen babies, small baby squirrels. So, what he has done, Maharshi has done, Maharshi has kept a large cage-like thing. And he has put all the babies inside. And the mother and was feeding the babies. And the mother squirrel will come sometimes and he'll open it and mother to go in. And sometimes he'll open it for the mother to get out. But in one instance what happened was, when he opened the baby squirrels grows very fast. They get their strength to wander around very easily. So he opened that door of the cage, so the mother squirrel came out, followed by all the babies also came out. And they have not grown that big enough to go wander around everywhere. So what do they do first? Within the room they want to play around, the babies. They want to play around within the room. So Maharshi, what he was doing was, he was catching hold of these squirrels. He'll get hold of one, bring them in, put into the cage. And then by the time he goes and gets the next one, this one will run out from inside. In this way, this was going on for quite a period of time. So when he brings another one and puts it inside, this one will follow that. Or they were continuously in and out, in and out. This game was going on. So finally, he managed to get hold of all of them, all these six babies, and put them in and locked it. Cage, he closed the door. And then he looked at this devotee's face. Have you understood now in the meaning? He said to him that these squirrels, baby squirrels, they don't know that there is danger outside. Cats are fond of these baby squirrels. They will eat them. They'll kill them and eat them. And babies don't know that there is cat outside. There is cat outside. But if the babies knows that the cats will bite them, then they won't go out. They will stay inside the cage. But till it knows that, till the babies knows that, we have to put the babies back into the cage all the time to protect the baby. Afterwards, once it has grown and got strength, then it can escape from the cat. It knows how to escape. But otherwise the babies do not know how the cats can kill, bite and kill the babies, and they are not conscious of that, the danger outside of the cats. Similarly, Maharshi says to him, the mind is like that. Mind has to first know there is distress in the world outside. There is distress in the... When the world will bite you, you don't know. You don't know when the world will bite you. And that is how you turn the mind inwards. Majority of the people in spiritual life has experienced a tremendous distress in the world, and that is how their mind has gone inwards. That is how it happened. And this was a practical example to make it a little easier. That when they sensed finally, all great personalities, you look at Tukaram, look at Namadev, look at many, many... These are personalities who suffered so heavily in life, and they learned the lesson that if I go into the world, there is trouble. There is trouble outside. Dukkhanya lokya jandushu alamudita viveko hamajarya varya labdhuatvam todrubadatvam gunacharita kada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. Dukkhanya lokya jandushu. That till I realize there is a considerable amount of distress in this world outside, I will not think about withdrawing the mind from the world. I want to be in the world, is it not? But that awareness has to come first, that there is distress in the world, in life in this world. Even Srila Prabhupada's life, if you study, you will see what happened to Prabhupada also, isn't it? When there was so much distress in life, mind has turned inwards. Mind has turned towards Alma. So this has to be practiced, turning the mind. But you don't have to wait till the distress comes. Till the distress comes. If you are intelligent, you should take it on board now, without thinking about it. Because the rishis are telling us these things, is it not? They are giving us an advice that there is distress in the world. If I am not feeling the distress, some people even after getting all the distress, they say it's fine still. So what to do? So first thing, intelligent person, first realization is this. that there is tremendous amount of distress in this world. There's nothing we can do about it. That is how you become little more inward looking nature, inside looking nature. And we don't have to wait till the cat comes and bites us. So, but if you keep practicing it in advance to that, turning the mind inwards, and little by little give the experience of the self from inside, then at least to give a small dip to the experience of the self, it's called in the Shastram as Atma Tirtham, or in other words, the Tirtham. Tirtham is the pure, where you get purified. Tirtham is, Ganga River is a Tirtham, Yamuna River is a Tirtham, Kaveri is Tirtham. So that Tirtham is flowing there. What is that Tirtham? Atma, the soul. Now and then, you give a dip yourself into that Tirtham of the self, Tirtham of the self. And if you allow the mind to go inwards towards that Tirtham and give him a little bit of taste of the knowledge of the self, then that taste for the world will leave. The taste for the world will leave. And that is the best process to control the mind, rather than going through meditation and all that. Little by little, turning the mind inwards to look inwards. And that's what the bhikshu did. Nayam janomi sukha dukkha hedu na devada alma graham karmam kalam manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. He says like that, isn't it? Because you can see here that where is the mind coming from? Send the mind back to the same place where it's coming from. And where is the mind coming from? The hrit, from the heart, isn't it? And that hole where Krishna says, Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasuti, that is where the mind is taking its birth. And it's from that hole the mind is coming, Ahangaram is coming, Pranam is coming, everything comes from there. Upanishad says, Tasmin Sarve Pratishtidam. Everything is situated at that point. And everything is lying there. So when the mind wakes up from there, the whole world wakes up in front of us. Is it not? If the mind has not woken up from there, the world won't be there. The world has woken up from there. So, without your mind, you can't see the world. Is it not? You have not seen the world without the mind. So, that is why in the deep sleep state, there is no mind and you are not seeing the world. You are not seeing the world either. So, it is only after the mind is woken up, you are actually seeing the world. And where is the mind coming from? From the hrit, from the heart, isn't it? So, and where, before the mind comes up, who comes out? Ahangaram comes. First, ahangaram comes from the ahangaram, mind comes. Immediately after that, mind is coming. So, without that, so, if I don't have that ahangaram inside, aham, aham, if that is not there, then thought waves cannot be there. That means mind can only operate if there is ahangaram inside. You will see this. Vrittayastu, in the Upanishasaram, there is a verse there. It mentions that Vrittayastu aham vrittim ashrita. This is Maharshi's statement. He says, Vrittayastu aham vrittim ashrita. Vrittayo manam vidyaham mana. The birth of the mind from the Chitavritti's birth from Ahangaram. Vrittayastu aham vritti ashrita. Aham vritti is the first vritti. Aham vritti means Ahangaram. Aham vritti. Aham vritti, Ahangaram is dependent on this aham vritti. And aham vritti comes the mind. Aham vritti comes the mind. Vrittayo mano vidyaham mana. Then the mind is born from that. Mind is born from that. So these Chitavritti or vijaram or thought waves, that is called the mind. And out of all the thoughts, various thoughts that's inside, the very basic thought is, I am. I am. That is a basic thought. So, and that thought is present in us all through, in everything. What we do, when we speak, and when we eat, when we sleep, all the time, this aham thought, I am doing this, I am doing this, I am doing that, I am going here, I am going there, I spoke to him, he spoke to me. Everywhere if you look, this aham is very much in all our thoughts and actions. Is it not? All our thoughts and actions. So they say that it is present inside, just like the thread in the cloth, in a similar way, that the mind is present in all through this ahankaram, in our actions and thoughts. Ahankaram is present like the thread in everything. And if you allow the mind to go away, you will see that this, all our emotions, the center point of all that is this ahankaram. And you can see this, I didn't get this, I wanted that, I didn't get this, I couldn't engage in meditation, and I couldn't understand anything what you said today. Everything, me, mine, in relationship with me, I'll be talking in that way, isn't it? And sometimes I say, I'm not feeling very peaceful. Or sometimes it's, I'm a big person. And even while you are in meditation also, this aham vritti is still present inside. And you are also, while you are in meditation also, you are thinking, I am meditating. You can see how deep-rooted that aham vritti is inside, isn't it? So the center of all these aham vritti is that ahankaram. So ahankaram is the center. Around that you are making the whole building. You are constructing all your vyavaharam as a building around this ahankaram. Ahankaram is the center on which you are building this, all your vyavaharam as a building constructed around that ahankaram. So, if you shake that ahankaram, your world will be shaken. You see? If you shake that ahankaram, your whole world will be shaken. Because while we are living in this world, because that aham is so strong, that is why all our vyavaharam is going on. Family relationships are going on. Social relationships are going on. Our achievements in this world, our failures in this world, anything and everything if you take with your life in this world, it is all connected with that ahankaram inside. And if you shake that ahankaram, this whole world will be shaken. Whole world will be shaken. That is what he is saying there. Vrittayastu aham vritti. So, all your chitavritti, thought waves are all dependent on this ahankaram inside. Aham vritti. Vrittayo manaha. Because mind itself is chitavritti, isn't it? Aham manaha. Actually, ahankaram itself is the mind. Ahankaram is expanding vijrambanam. And that becomes the mind. That becomes the mind. So, ahankaram, that strong thing called ego, when it expands, that's called the mind. That's called the mind. Just like you have a big tree standing there. It has got its, what you call the stem or the trunk. And then it has got branches going everywhere. And then on the branches, you've got sub-branches. From there is leaves and then flowers, then fruits and this and the other, so many things. And the big trunk has got its root also down at the bottom. So you can break up this tree into all these different parts of the tree. But in reality, they are one. In reality, they are one. Because it is that one thing which came from the seed, which has come out in the form of the trunk, and then it grown up and expanded into all other different parts in the tree. Is it not? So practically you can see, the birth of that tree was from the seed inside, where it came about. And from that seed, all these things have come out, eventually, isn't it? So that seed itself is mind. Seed itself is the mind. So you have to get hold of the seed. You have to get hold of the seed. And what is that seed? Call it as ahankaram. Ahankaram and mind is very close. They are not so separated like that. But for clarity purposes, we say ahankaram takes birth first and then the mind comes. But it happens so fast that you hardly know there's a difference between the ahankaram and the mind. It happens so fast, isn't it? In the morning when you wake up, ahankaram is there. As soon as you become conscious of yourself, mind is open up everywhere. So ahankaram and mind, both of them are taking its birth from the same source. So, if you want to burn this ahankaram, there's only one possibility, that is the inquiry of the self. And go through that process and you have to burn that. In Yoga Vasishtham, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra this, very explicitly he puts it to him. Then Ramachandra says to Vasishtha, I have done a lot of things, but my ahankaram doesn't go away. What am I supposed to do? He says him. So, because if you try to do something to get rid of the ahankaram, that will become the ahankaram. That itself becomes the ahankaram. That's the way ahankaram operates. For example, just to give you an example how it works, ahankaram operates in this world. You know this interfaith thing? You heard about interfaith. So interfaith means you get from different groups come together and they meet up and they say we all can discuss together about God and come to some common denominator or common agreement on the God. It says there. So, so when they met up, all this interfaith group, there were four of them, one of them said that in our group, we follow everything very rigidly. We are very strict about everything what we do. We are very strict about it. And we haven't seen this anywhere else, how strict we are about our ajaram anushtanam. Ajaram anushtanam means this, in following the principles of these things. One group said that. Another group said that may be true, but the people in our group are highly educated in the Shastram. Our people know Shastram very well. And second group was saying like this. So third group said that in our group they don't have such a strong, rigid following of the Ajaram or Anushtanam or Shastram. We don't have that knowledge, but we have strong faith in our philosophical understanding. We believe in it, everything what we do, and therefore we are better than anybody else. So every one of them were saying their strength they were talking about. So when that happened, another group saying that may be all right, but we have got the largest number in our group. One says, and they also said, because we are the largest number, we have got the maximum number of places of worship. We have built so many places of worship, this, that, and the other. So, like this, they were arguing each other. Arguing means they were presenting themselves. Finally, one person came up and he said to him, I don't have anything to say, but I want to say something, he said. We don't have such people who have studied Shastram like you people have got. Nor we don't have that kind of faith like you have got, another pointing out another group. And number-wise also, we don't have so many in our group. But we have got one great quality, humility in us, he said. Humility in us, and you don't find that humility in anybody else, like what we have got. So, as far as humility is concerned, we are second to none, he said. He put it like this. So, this is how ahankaram puts us into this situation. You can see, he says, I don't have anything, but I got this. That itself is ahankaram. Is it not? So ahankaram, how to understand ahankaram? It's a very difficult thing. Then, unless you understand in the subtle level, you see, gross ahankaram is declaring yourself to be big or something important. That is a gross level. But subtle level ahankaram is there throughout life, all the time, in our vyavaharam. Vyavaharam all the time. If the state comes, if you have no ahankaram inside, then you can practically say that you are self-realized. You have realized the self. There's nothing holding you back then. If ahankaram is completely gone, but that state doesn't come. All the time this ahankaram is present inside. So here, therefore he said that to Ramachandra, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra that ahankaram, you will not be able to even find it out, and it is like a poison inside. It is present inside. So, Ramachandra, when he was young, he went all around the world to find out, and then he came back after he had Vairagyam inside. when Vishwamitra Maharshi took him out with Rama and Lakshmana, and they spent many months together in the world wandering around, they came back. And after he came back, Ramachandra started exhibiting an unusual level of vairagyam in life, renunciation from this world, after coming back from the spending time with Vishwamitra. So that is how, when Yoga Vasishtha was spoken, that conversation between Ramachandra and Vasishtha Maharshi. Vasishtha Maharshi was present in the palace. Vishwamitra took him away, Rama and Lakshmana. When they came back, Ramachandra was in an unusual state of renounced mood, detached mood. And that is how people start asking this question, what happened to Ramachandra? And Vasishtha Maharshi was asked to inquire from Ramachandra, what has made happen this to, why this has happened to him? His total detachment to everything in this world. Like you happened to Buddha in the same way. So at that time there is a conversation between Ramachandra and Vasishtha, and that is Yoga Vasishtha. So that he says to him, so he mentions to him, Ramachandra says to him, I don't want this kingdom. I don't want all this emperor business and, you know, king of Ayodhya and all that. And I don't want to do any administration work. Ramachandra's detachment from this world. So he says here, whatever I do here, yal kridam tad ahankara kridam. Whatever I am doing, it's coming from ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one that dictates all these things, isn't it? To do things and everything else. So anything that I do, I feel that ahankaram is doing that. So there's nothing a greater enemy than ahankaram. Nahi ahankarat paroripuhu. There is not a higher enemy than ahankaram in this world for everybody. Ahankarat paroripuhu. So ahankara vashad iha, ahankara vashad apat. From ahankaram comes all problems in this life as well, is it not? So, therefore, what is the way to get rid of this ahankara from inside? And Ramachandra says to him, I don't want to live in this world. And I don't want to feel like even eating. Ramachandra says this to Vasishtha. So you can see, when you observe in the world, general world, you can see there that people live in this world, and in order to live in this world, they have to boost this ego, ahankaram inside, isn't it? Otherwise it's difficult to conduct life in this world. So Vasishtha says to him, to Ramachandra, that I will give you an idea of how to free yourself from this ahankaram. And Ramachandra, that is Yoga Vasishtha's instructions. He says to him, and great rishis, sages, from time immemorial, they have found out this process. And they have spoken about that which I will tell you. That is how Vasishtha says to him. Vasishtha didn't say, I have found out. No. He says, rishis knew this, and they have studied this problem from time immemorial, and they come up with some answer. I'll tell you what they have spoken about it. Rama swalpa vicharoyam koham syal iti rupakaha chittar druma bijasa chittar durdruma bijasya dahane dahanam smrdaha. This was that verse is spoken in the Yoga Vasishtha. He says here, Rama, Alma Vijaravayam, inquire about yourself, who you are. The solution is offering this. And then, Koham Syad Idi Rubaha. Who am I? Keep finding out, asking this. Koham Syad Idi Rubaha. What is my Swarupam? Chitta Dur Druma Bijasya Dehani Dehanat Dhanaspadaha, and find out where it is coming from, and you have to chittar druma bhijasya, find out the seed of that ahankara, where it's coming from, and dahani dahanat smradaha, and you have to burn the very seed itself of this ahankara. Very seed. It's not good enough if you cut the branches or the tree. Once you burn the seed, then it cannot take birth again, isn't it? It can't sprout anymore. So if you want to, sometimes you can see this huge banyan tree. You cut the whole tree. You can see this in the villages. If you cut the whole tree, and they'll go away. After a few months, you will see he has appeared in so many other different places. 10 different places he has come out. Why? Because this tree underneath the ground, he has spread its branches everywhere. And underneath that, from the seed, from where he has come, he is still there. And he is supplying the food to all the other branches, and they have all sprouted everywhere. So, killing a tree means, if you cut the tree, branches, nothing is good enough. Unless you find the seed where it's come from, and burn that seed. If you fully burn that seed, then it cannot give birth again. It won't take birth again. That is what Vasishtha says to Ramachandra. Rama swalpa vicharoyam koham syad idhi rupakaha chittardur dhruma bijasya dehane dehanasmradaha. Dehanam means completely burn into ashes so that it will not have any more life left inside. Because the whole life is coming from where? From the seed. Is it not? For the tree. It's coming from the seed. So, hey Rama, it says to him, what is that seed? Chittam. Chittam is that seed. So, durdrumam. Durdrumam means it's a poisonous tree. Poisonous tree. And even if you cut it off, it won't go. And suppose if you cut the roots even, kamam, krodham, anger, greed, lust, envy and all that, it's just like cutting the roots only. You cut the root, but still it will come back. So, but even if you cut some roots, there will be some other roots which you have not able to cut. So it's difficult to find out all the roots of the tree and cut it. All the roots of the tree and cut it. So, we will think that, oh, I cut all the trees now, it's gone. But you will see, after a few days, it will come out and it will tell you, oh, I'm still here, you know. That's how it will come back, isn't it? So, even a little bit of inside it is there, it will come back. Similarly, kamam, krodham, I mean lust and anger and envy and all these things, even if you have managed to get rid of all these things from inside, something else will be there inside which you are not aware of and you are not able to do anything about it. And using that particular vasana, what is left behind, it will come back again. It will come back again. That is that poisonous tree what he is talking about. So it is not good enough if you cut the roots. Even that's not good enough. You have to burn the seed. That is the, for example, all these vasanas inside us, that is present inside, all the vasanas has to go from inside. That is what is called vasana kshaya. And then there is no possibility of this ahankaram and mind to take birth again. Ahankaram and mind to take birth. That's what Krishna mentioned to Muchukunda. Remember, in that verse. He said, as long till that vasana goes away, you can never say that mind won't come back, ahankaram won't come back. Ahankaram and mind will come back. So, therefore, Rama swalpa vichara. So, you have to set fire to that seed. He says, Rama swalpa vicharayam koham syad idirubakha chittadur dhuma bijasya dahano dahanasmadaha. So, where is the fire to burn that seed? To burn that seed. And that's what Vasishtha is saying there. Svatma vicharoham. Atma vicharam. Self-inquiry alone is that seed for burning that fire. So, when the fire of inquiry becomes very, very strong, that ahankaram will start burning. The seed will start burning inside. So, inquiring in that way and knowing yourself who you are by self-inquiry, that is the answer. So, once you know that your real swarupam, who you are, where ahankaram is taking birth, if you keep constantly aware of that and keeping a close watch on that, you will start understanding that what this ahankaram is. Because even now, we don't even know what ahankaram is. We think there is no ahankaram. That's why sometimes we think that I will do a course or a seminar on humility. And that itself is an ahankaram. I done this course, you know, on humility. We had a nice course. You'll always see this appearing in the web, saying about these things. So all this is, we are not conscious of that. Because we don't know what it is actually, how strong this ahankaram is. So, in inquiry business helps. By this inquiry process, you will get to know that what is this ahankaram, in other words, and what is this thing called mind, and finding out where is it coming from. Where is it coming from? This is the spiritual process, not the seminar process, spiritual process. Seminar process is you conduct... It's a different thing. Just like that for interfaith group discussed, it will be like that. It won't help. It can't help. Self-inquiry process is the process for the spiritual process. So that is what everybody has followed. Ramachandra followed this. Vasishtha followed that. And all other jnanis also followed the same process. They did the same thing. So this is the process. That's Purana. That Purana means that ray that comes from birth of the ahankaram and mind from the hrit. That it is an indicator that is called ahamspurti. Ahamspurti means that Purana that comes from there. So if in that case you will get this ahamspurti, when will you get that? You will particularly know these things about that ahankaram, ahamspurti, sahankaram. That's what's called jiva actually. That ahamspurti or ahankaram, you particularly know that when you get angry or when you get irritated considerably, or when someone speaks to you very rudely or harshly, or situations like that, when you feel fed up inside, at that time, if that is the time to get him. That's the time you will find him. So, somebody insults you or somebody speaks to you rudely, and at that time, you look inside, who is getting hurt? Shastram clearly tells us, Atma has nothing to do with any of these things. That's the time you are completely conscious of the presence of the degree of ahankaram inside. If you are getting very hurt, it means the ahankaram is playing its role very strongly, very well. If you are not getting hurt, that means that you are free from that problem of ahankaram. These people, if you look at Hastamalaka, Janabharata, Rishabhadev and Dattatreya and this Bhikshu, what has happened to them? They managed to get rid of this one thing from inside, ahankaram. How they did it, that's another thing. But the goal was same for all of them. They all did exactly the same thing. Because Bhikshu's case is more prominent, he was given such a hard time by the world, not much different in Jalabharata's case. Family members, they didn't treat him very well. The kind of things they fed him, because they didn't want to spend any money on him, wanted to get the work only out of him. So they gave him such food, it mentions in the Bhagavatam some of the things when you read how people could do such things. They were using cow dung to cover the ground. And when this cow dung, after a while, it will come out from the ground, isn't it? Because it doesn't stay permanently there. So that cow dung, they used to dip in the water and send that water for him to drink and to eat. They fed him like this. Bharata Maharshi imagined that the emperor of the planet had to go through that in his third life. So when you study Bharata Maharshi's words to Rahugana, they have only got to say to us this one thing, that this ahankaram has to go. Of course, Ramachandra's case, Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi talks to Ramachandra as instructions to us. Through Ramachandra, he is instructing us. Whereas Jadabharata, Rishabhadev, Dattatreya and Astamilaga and all, they are Bhikshu, they are all the examples in this world in the recent times, isn't it? So sometimes somebody say, oh, he spoke to me, or he spoke about me to somebody like this, and he has insulted me. And at least at that time, if you look inside, you will see that a strong, powerful individuality coming from inside. Individuality coming from inside. And that will manifest in a very powerful way inside. We all will experience that. You will see all our energy comes into one point at that time. That ahankara, isn't it? So it is at that time you have to look at that point inside. At that point inside. You have to ask the question, who is experiencing this? Who is experiencing this? That's the only way you will sense that. Even if you don't follow this all the way through, it may not be possible for everybody to, some people don't have that nature, but still occasionally if you do that, what will happen is, even if you don't realize the self, you will at least know the presence of Ahankaram inside, how strong that is. Once it so happened that in the kitchen in Thiruvannamalai, there were two cooks who were fighting each other. Kitchen is always the center of fighting, isn't it? Everywhere in the kitchen it happens. So some two cooks were there in the ashram, they were cooking and they were arguing each other. And meanwhile, Ramana Maharshi was also there. He was helping them to cook. He used to do all that. He used to go to the kitchen, cut the vegetables in the morning. And he will spend some time with them and talking to them. Whatever he wanted to teach them, he was spending time with them in this way. So so when they were arguing each other very strongly, because this happens sometimes, people get absorbed in their service. And in that process, they never get any time to think or study or to have any satsangam. So what happens? They'll be doing their seva whole life. And after 30, 40 years of service, they are where they were before. Nothing has changed in their life. And this happens often in the kitchen. In the kitchen, they take up this kitchen service. They have to keep cooking whole life. They think, oh, I am pleasing Krishna, I am doing my service. That's it. Nothing else happens in their life. So when Ramana Maharshi came inside, one of them turned around to Maharshi and told him, he does not know who I am, he says. I'll show him who I am. So Maharshi told him, that's very good, he said. That's very good. He said, hey, at least you know who you are. He said, he doesn't know who he is. You know who you are. So Maharshi is talking on the spiritual side. And this first two of them, with all their ragadvesham, they are arguing each other. He says to him, don't show yourself to him, he says to him. You find out yourself, that's enough. You don't have to show it to somebody else, he says to him. So at that time, he felt, that person felt that. Then Maharshi is saying something which he couldn't understand initially. In that angry mood, he was arguing very, very rigidly, vehemently with them. So, now you found out who you are? He says, hold on to him, he said. Maharshi says to him, you hold on to him. So, it is the same way. Other times, it's difficult to find out. It's only when some strong emotions comes, particularly anger. When it comes, that's the time to, or when you get when you are spoken rudely or harshly or insulted, in such situations you will find him easily. You will get him easily. Otherwise, it's not possible to get him. In good situation, when the mind is in a sort of a happy mood or anything, it will only like remain theoretical. But in this situation, it is possible to identify where that Ahankaram is taking birth. So, and at that time, if you give attention, you see where it's coming from. You can see there it is coming from. If you continuously do that as a practice, you will see that it's coming, taking birth somewhere here. It's coming from there. And that is the mulap, or the deep, the place where it's taking birth. Hridayasthanam. So, that is Hridayasthanam. So, spiritual heart is here, material heart is on the opposite side. So, all our spiritual realizations are on this side. This side it is happening. So, that is why it happens spontaneously. It happens spontaneously. So, whenever something we say, suppose somebody, you can see this, how that spontaneity is in there in person. All over the world, see, for I blame somebody, I blame you, for example, I say to you that you have done this such a wrong thing, you will say, I have not done that. Naturally, your hand goes there. It doesn't go to hand, leg, or head, or anywhere. You go here. Why is that? Because in a very subtle level, you are aware of your existence here. You see, how all over the world it's like that. Whether it's in India or America, I have not done that, you'll say. Immediate response, I don't know, why do you blame me? You'll say. Is it not? So why you are saying that, touching here? It's not even this side, we'll touch this side and say. To indicate to us that this awareness is there in us, that the presence of the Atma inside, Ahankaram birth inside, mind is born there. So all our presence of our existence is here. And in a very subtle level, everybody knows that. That's all you have to know. In a very subtle level, everybody knows of the awareness or existence, where it is present in the body, and that is why, without any provocation, a man will say, why you blame me? You touch here straight away, isn't it? It comes like that, in a very spontaneous way, spontaneously it comes like that, to show to us that the awareness is there. The awareness is there. But, if even though we say like that, it is a point indicated to us, but you should not think Atma is only present there. That's a wrong understanding. Because Atma is present everywhere. There's no place Atma is not present. But when with reference to this body, when you are explaining this body, all the controls are happening from there. That's all how far you can go. And mentions that. But you should never say Atma is only present there. Then that will be misunderstanding. So Ahankaram, false ego, takes birth there. And if you inquire about that in this way, the way we have spoken, then you will come to know that this Ahankaram goes away and Aham Bodham comes in. Of your pure awareness of your existence, you will start sensing there. So, and that is what that Aham Tattvam, that Aham Tattvam or Aham Bodham is what we call it as Brahma, which is present in the whole creation as Brahma. That is not different from the Aham Tattvam. So Aham Bodham or Aham Tattvam, when Ahankaram gives way, then Aham Tattvam or Aham Bodham, which is present inside, is the one, what is our real identity, and that's what is present in the whole creation as Brahma. What we call it as Brahma, who is present. Brahma means that Brahata means present everywhere, where there is no place where it is not present. So, and because Prahlada knew about this, that is why Prahlada says Sarvatra. Remember in the Bhagavatam what Prahlada says about that. When Hiranyakashipu asked, where is your Vishnu? Where is Vishnu? He says, Sarvatra Drishyade, he says. I'm seeing him everywhere. Why? Prahlada had this realization. That he had this realization. So, but when this Ahankaram goes away, initially, the Ahankaram goes away, and Aham Bodham or awareness comes in, that Aham Bodham is what is known as Chit. Chit Shakti. Chitta is there, Chittam is there. Chittam, Chittam, there is a difference. Chit is the Chit Shakti. Chittam is all the vasanas stacked up inside. So, what we know now is material space, isn't it? This space what we now know is the material space. Huge space which we don't understand how far this space goes, isn't it? But there is another space inside what we call it as Chidakasham. Akasham of the Chit Shakti. And that Chidakasham is unlimited. This material space, you can say, for example, this room is limited to this space. You can cut through this space and make separations there. Chidakasham, you can't break up. Chidakasham is unlimited. And because that realization had come about the Chidakasham, that is the reason Hastamalaka answered Acharya Swamiji in that particular way. Which one? He said, Na Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra Na Jurammachari Na Grihi Vanastha. Nijabhodha Rupam. Yeah, I got it. He says that in that verse you will see why he answered in that way. That's what I'm explaining here. Naham Manishyo Naja Deva Yaksho Na Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudraha Na Brahmachari Na Grihi Vanastho Bhikshu Na Cha Aham Nija Bodha Rupam. That Bodha Rupam means that Chidakasham. Nija Bodha Rupam. Bodha Rupam, you can't put any limitations on that. It is the Chit Akasham or Chit space which cannot be measured, which cannot be limited by any barriers. Material space you can break up into spaces, isn't it? Whichever way you want to cut it off. In different ways you can space, you can broken. But Chidakasham you can't break up. And that is what he's saying there. All other things, Naham Manishyo, Najadeva Yaksho, Na Brahmana Kshatriya, Vaishya Shudraha, Na Brahmajari, Na Grihi Vanastho, Bhikshu, Na Cha Aham, Nija Bodharyugam. I am pure consciousness. Consciousness means this Chidakasham.
Chit Shakti inside.
That's what he's saying there. So, there he is saying here, because he experienced that, which one? That Chidakasham. What happens? First thing is that when he answered that question, if you notice that the Veda Buddhi has gone from him. Do you know what Veda Buddhi means? Veda Buddhi means that he is not thinking, I am this or I am that. He's not singing Brahmana or Kshatriya, or Vaishya or Shudra, Brahmachari or Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. These are all Veda Buddhi, isn't it? When Veda Buddhi comes, it happens like that. We will identify with one. Veda Buddhi's problem is that it will identification will start. So, what happened here was that this Veda means differences, that once you identify with the body, then Veda Buddhi will come. Veda Buddhi will only leave you when you leave the body. Identification with the body. Because you are identifying with the body, that is why you are feeling this Vedam, differences. Somebody says, oh, he is a fallen householder. Or he is a very elevated sannyasi. All these things people make statements. But because they don't know the subtle side of these things, that why he is completely seeing the person through the body. That's why he's saying that. We often say like that, don't we? About others. Oh, he is completely gone. He's finished in spiritually. He doesn't have anything. He's a fallen householder. Look at him. He's completely in Maya. And look at him. He's sannyasi. So elevated he is. All the statements we make. But both are wrong, actually. In the sense that the person who is speaking, he doesn't have any realization. That is the problem. So once you have that realization, if you identify yourself with the body, then you will identify others also with their body. Sannyasi, grahastha, all are bodily identities. Nothing more than that. So if you identify with your body, you will identify others with their bodies, and then you will have all these, Veda Buddhi will come from that. So, but this Veda Buddhi goes in the deep sleep. Imagine that. It goes in the deep sleep. And it is like that. And here, what has happened to Hastavalaka? Hastavalaka's case, that Veda Buddhi that disappears in the deep sleep state has disappeared in the vacant state as well. Even in the vacant state, it has disappeared. So, that means continuously, he is in identification with the Brahma. Brahmam realizes, Aham Brahmasmi, that stage. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, irrespective of what state he is always in that Aham Brahmasmi state. So, that is why he said that, Naham Manushyo, Najadeva Yaksho, Na Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudraha, Na Brahmachari, Grihi Vanastho, Bichurna chaham nijabodharupaha. So you have to see from what level he is speaking this. Completely Veda Buddhi has gone from inside. Veda Buddhi has gone from inside. And that is why, because all this is called Sharira Adhyasam. Which one? To call yourself as Brahmachari, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Grihastha, Sannyasi, Vanaprastham. All this is Sharira Adhyasam. What happens is, when you are in an institution, you will give importance to all these things. You will never understand the truth. You will get carried away by all these various designations. Like, you joined a company, and there you saw general manager, managing director, chief executive, and departmental managers. How you look at each one of them in different ways. you join a spiritual institution and you will start looking at people also in the same way due to the vasana inside. That won't work. And if you have similar people also promoting that, then what will happen? It will become another corporation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Same thing will happen. So once a grihastha asked Maharshi this question, he said that, I am tired of this householder life. Let me take sannyasam, he said. Maharshi says, what have your wife and children done harm to you? What have they done to you? He said, because what's going to change for you now? When you are in your householder life, you are thinking that you are a householder. And when you become a sannyasi, what will you do? You will think you are a sannyasi. So where is the difference, he said. That was his answer to him. So, and in order to, you want to change this designation, and you want to think that you are a sannyasi and not a householder. That's all what you want to do. You want to think like that. Instead of a householder, I'm a sannyasi. You want to think like that. And once you've taken that dress, you will think that I'm a sannyasi. Now you're thinking you are a householder. But once you change the clothes, you will start thinking you are a sannyasi. So, both situations, you are still in the body. Identifying with the body, is it not? So what's the difference going to make, he asked him. He replied him back, saying this. So don't worry about it, he said. Don't do all these things, he said. That was his advice to him. Says to him, so the body is grihastha, body is sannyasam, body is brahmachari. That's how you have to look at that. And all of them is the symptoms of ignorance, ajnanam or avidya inside. You won't escape from all these ajnanam, avidya by changing ashram. That is not the solution to that. Jnanam is the solution. Ajnanam, avidya, there were great, great personalities in householder realized souls, and there were many, many ignorant people in the sannyasa ashram. So it is pointless to think that by changing to sannyasa ashram, nowadays it's a fashion, if you take to sannyasam, that you feel that you made one more step further. It doesn't mean anything. There's no guarantee. Ajnanam or avidya won't go away easily from inside. So, all of them are symptoms of ajnanam. Therefore, whether you are a householder wearing white or a brahmachari or a sannyasi wearing saffron, that is not the important point. Instead of knowing that I am not this body and developing the knowledge of the self, and that is a symptom of jnanam. That's a symptom of knowledge. So, and that person who has got that realization, he is the one who is liberated. Who is liberated. So, that is why Hasamalaka here, he rejected everything. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmajari, Grastham, Sanyasam, Vanaprastham, everything he rejected. And then what did he say? Nijabhodharupam. Nija means my identity, he says. If you ask me who I am Atma. Atma, Bodham, awareness. And that means Jnapti. All various things in the Bhagavatam, what you have read, consciousness, Nijabhodharupam. These are all different words, but practically he is referring to that pure consciousness or awareness, Bodham, Abhodham. And in that awareness, there is no body, there is no mind, there is no intelligence, none of them exist there in that awareness. And that is unbroken. It is present everywhere. Pure. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you see, when they spoke about Sukadeva Goswami, Tam sarvabhudakhdayam munimanatosmi. You can't explain Sukadeva Goswami better than that. Sarvabhudakhdayam munim anatosmi. Sukadeva Goswami feels a great pleasure in talking about his spiritual master, who Sukadeva Goswami, in that way. He wants to say, he says, my spiritual master, sarvabhudakhdayam munimanatosmi. Sukadeva Goswami doesn't say that he looks beautiful in his saffron clothes or in his... not seeing him as a person anymore. Tam sarvabhudakhrudayam. Because if you want to honor your spiritual master, that is how you honor of his realizations. Not based on what clothes he wears and or any other how beautifully he sings or how renounced he is. That's all in relationship with the body. But a proper realized soul, you have to remember, Sukadeva Goswami, up to in the Vedantic tradition, from Narayana comes Brahma. Brahma comes Vasishtha. They are father to son, that is how it goes. Narayana, Brahma. Then Vasishtha. Vasishtha's son is Shakti. Shakti's son is Parashara Maharshi. They are all rishis. From Parashara Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi. Next, another rishi. From Vedavyasa Maharshi, Shuga Brahmarshi, another rishi. They are all rishi parambara, arsha samskaram, arsha pandhav, it is called. The samskaram or the rishi parambara is like this. Narayanam, Palmabhuvam is Brahma. Then Vasishtha, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavyas, Sudeva Goswami. Up to this now, it's father to son. It has come. But after Sukadeva Goswami, what happened? Then the next person from Sukadeva Goswami is Gaudapada. Gaudapada Acharya, you will see. Gaudapada Acharya wrote what is known as a famous commentary on Brihadaranya Upanishad. And also his famous commentary on Mandukya Upanishad called Mandukya Kairika. You can buy all these books. Mandukya Kairika and Brihadaranya Upanishad, he has analyzed Atma to such fineness that even today, people, when they want to understand Vedantam, they study those books. Vridharanyam as well as the Mandukya Kairika. Mandukya Upanishad's commentary on that. So, here, important thing is that you will see this parambara which comes like this. So, Gaudapada Acharya was brought into spiritual life and given sannyasam by Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami gave him sannyasam because Sudeva Goswami won't give to somebody like that very easily. Sudeva Goswami made sure that he was in that state of sannyasam state, what Sudeva Goswami's state, in other words. And Gaudapada Acharya gave sannyasam to Govinda Bhagavatpada. Govinda Bhagavatpada was given sannyasam by, they are all not ordinary rishis, they are. You have to consider them as good as the great rishis. Govinda Bhagavatpada took initiation from Gaudapada Acharya, and Govinda Bhagavatpada gave initiation to Shankaracharya. That is how that parambara has come. So, important thing here is that the same question what Shankaracharya asked to Hastamalaka, Govinda Bhagavatpada asked Shankaracharya at the time when he met in Madhya Pradesh. This happened in the Namada river bank. Govinda Bhagavatpada was sitting there. There is a whole story behind that Acharya Swamiji goes there. He was 8 years old and he meets up with Govinda Bhagavatpada, who was sitting there waiting for him to come. Appears as though it was waiting for him to come. So when they had that discussion, when it happened between them, Shankaracharya and the Bhagavatpada, when this discussion happened, the answer was not much different than the way he has answered, Hastamalaka has answered him. He answered him like this, that Mano buddhya hangara chittani naham naja shrotra jikve naja krana netraim naja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu chidananda rupa shivoham shivoham. This was his answer to them. That I am not any of this. When Hastamalaka said, I am not this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmajani, Grastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, Acharya Swamiji at the age of 8, he is saying to Govinda Bhagavatpada, Mano buddhya ahankara chittani naham, mind, intelligence, ahankaram, chittam, none of them is me. Nascha shrotra jikve nacha grana netre, none of the five senses, shrotram, granam, jikva, netram, none of them is me. Naja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu, earth, water, air, ether, fire, none of them is me. Then what am I? Chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. Chidananda rupam, I am chit. I am chidanandam, that bliss manifesting from the chit shakti, and shivoham shivoham, all auspicious atma I am, he said. So you can understand from this that anything made of the panchabhutam, five material elements, I am not that. So if you reject everything, once you have rejected all these things, which one? Five material elements, mind intelligence, false ego, manasa buddhi ahankaram chittam, then all the senses. If you have rejected all these things, there is something what is left behind which you cannot reject. What is that? Your awareness. Chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. And that is exactly how Hastamalaka told him. Acharya was very pleased with that answer. That what he told when he was 8 years old to his teacher, Govinda Bhagavadpada, and the same answer he got from Hastamalaka, from him also. And this awareness, bodham, that is tadego shishtam shiva kevaloham. That is what I am. And this is the basic principle of this Hastamalaka's teachings here. You will see, we have to study this in conjunction with the Bhikshugita. Only then you will relish it. How, in the realized state wherein they speak, how precise they are, and there is no confusion there. Everything is so clear between them. Only thing we can understand at that time, these personalities like Bhikshu, our Bhikshu in the Bhikshugita, Hastamalaka, Jadabharata and all that, Krishna has left these examples for us. Because suppose all this what is spoken is only in the books, it won't help, would it? But when you have people who have shown to us that it is possible to have reached that state, then you feel inspired to go in that route, to inquire further from there. Is it not? Otherwise it won't happen. So we have got both. We have got the books, Shastram there, and we have got the personalities who have shown to us that they have reached that state when they spoke about that. So, then we'll continue with that in a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha davahni nirvavanam Shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam Anandam budhivardhanam pradipada purnamridaswadhanam Sarvatna subhanam param vijayde shri krishna sangeyuktanam Namnamadari bahuda Nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nevida smaranena kalam Eda drishi tava kriba bhagavan mamami Durdaiva me drisham iha jani nanuragaham Trinaravishani jena taroravi sahishtuna Anani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye Mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhakti rahi dugitvai Ainandadanu jakingaram padidamam shame bhavam budhom Kribayadava pada panga jastida duli sadrasham vichindaya Nayanam galashudharaya padanam jangadarudhaya gira Pulagayam jidam kadava bhutavan mama grahane bhavishyadi Yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karoduva Yadadadava vidadadulam badomal prananathastunayevana param
Just one small announcement. The classes Anil is trying to book with the center point. We have chosen these dates, that means from 22nd is a Monday, December. So that's a Christmas week, that week. So that means 25th is Christmas and 26th December, Friday, Boxing Day, 2 days. So if we have classes from 20th of December to 28th of December, that means 9 days. We could continue with Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, where we stopped during the, when was that, in the last, last time. In July, where we stopped. We'll continue from that. So, all those dates are okay with you? Yeah. That means 22nd Monday, probably may have to take time off from work for those 3 days, 22, 23 and 24. Because 25 and 26 is holidays anyway. 27th and 28th is the weekend. So we can have from 20th, which is the Saturday, right up all the way to 28th December. But Anil will confirm that to you by email when he gets the
book. The situation at the moment is that Michelle is looking into whether some of the other groups will be there or not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And on the Sundays, the pastor may be there from 11:30.
Oh.
So either we make it a bit earlier.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Make it in the afternoon.
Yeah. But we can make it earlier, I suppose. That'll be better, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. On Sundays. Just on Sundays. Yeah. Remaining time, 7 to 12.
Yeah.
We'll keep it like that.
For the weekdays as well.
Okay.
So she's going to come back.
Okay. So when you get the confirmation, you will let Naveen know about that. Yeah. All right. So let's go back. So here, what we're discussing, that Bhikshu's realizations. Bhikshu's realizations and Hastamalinga's realizations. Before we go into the third chapter, third verse, we finish the second verse now, the third verse. Generally, we have, when we when we analyze things, person who is seeing something and the object what he is seeing. Drishyam is the object. Drik is the seer. Drik and Drishyam, the two things. And this difference between Drik and Drishyam is called Drik Drishya Vivekam. In Vedantam it's called Drik Drishya Vivekam, between Drik and Drishyam. For example, so few people are sitting here, I am seeing you, and you are all Drishyam for me. For me, you are all Drishyam. And me, who is seeing you all, is Drikka. Is Drikka. Because in my vision, I am seeing you so many forms and names and forms. And how am I seeing you all? How is the Drik seeing the Drishyam? Through the eyes. Through the eyes. So, through the eyes I am seeing you all. And you are all coming to me through these eyes in a very subtle level. You are entering inside me. Isn't it? You are entering inside me. That is this Drishyam. I am the Drik and you are the Drishyam. Drishyam enters into the Drik through the eyes. Through the eyes. So, now I keep my eyes open and I am seeing you all. But sometimes even though eyes are open, I may not see you. I may not see you. For example, suppose I am looking at you and I am speaking, but I am not seeing you completely because my mind is absorbed in something else, what I am speaking. Is it not? So because the mind is somewhere else, even though eyes are wide open, I am not still not seeing you. You are not entering inside me. You are sitting there, I feel as though some people are sitting there. More than that, you are not having any impact on me at the moment when I am speaking, because the entry point, the eyes, even though it's open, it's not allowing the Drishyam to get into the mind. It's not allowing the Drishyam to get into the mind. Sometimes you can see that, isn't it? We are going somewhere and our mind is somewhere else, and suddenly we get in an accident. Eyes were open. I'm going to hit somebody. The car. I was driving. I'm going to hit someone. And how did it happen? Because mind was somewhere else. Is it not? That's why it happened. So, similarly here, that therefore, actually, I is not the one really seeing. The eye is also a Drishyam. Eye is also a Drishyam. And who is seeing the eye? The mind. So for me now as a Drake, you are the Drishyam. And through the eyes it comes into me, but only if it gets in, when the mind takes it on, only then I can say, you are inside me, you come inside me. At that point, the mind becomes the Drik and I becomes the Drishyam. These things has to be understood, otherwise many things what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, you won't even get a clue what is being spoken. Especially in the Bhagavatam, particularly Ekadasha Skandam. And some things in the Bhagavad Gita also, it is like that. So, the mind is the Drik who sees the Drishyam through the eye. So in other words, initially the world was Drishyam for the eye. Now the eye has become Drishyam, mind has become the Drik. Mind has become the Drik. So from this you can understand that eyes were a little bit more subtle than the world, gross form. Then more subtle than the eye was the mind. Was the mind. And without the eye, mind is seeing things in the dream. Is it not? That's an interesting thing, is it not? That in the dream state you are seeing everything clear. But eyes are closed. How you are seeing things there? That's another aspect of that. That in that state, that mind is able, similarly all other senses also. Eye is only one example. In the sleep, deep sleep, you are in the dream state, you are hearing also. And similarly, you are touching others. You are touching others in the dream state. Suppose you are having a big feast, dream feast. And you are enjoying the feast in the dream. Each and every preparations you are taking, you are finding it. So when you are dreaming and when the body is in that dream state, this awareness is still functioning inside. Upanishad is saying that if he is not present inside, none of these activities will happen. Which one? The Drikka Drishyam cannot function unless there is Atma present inside. So there, mind is creating so many scenery or scenes in the dream state. The mind is creating there. Therefore, mind becomes the Drik and the eye is the Drishyam there. So, and also, many thought waves are coming through the mind at that time, isn't it? And he, the person, behind all that, you are staying separately from the dream and you are saying that I am dreaming. The person inside, he is standing separate. See, when you are dreaming, if you have properly analyzed your dream, how are you able to say, when you come out of the dream, I had all these dreams? What does that mean? It means when the dream was happening, you were staying separately from the dream and you are observing the dream. And that is the reason when you come out of the dream, you are able to say that this dream was happening to me. So, similarly you can see I got very angry now and I my mood off, my mood has gone and my mind is wandering around in the world. But when all these things are happening in me, in a very subtle level, I am aware of that, what's happening. You see, when I'm getting angry, I'm saying, I'm getting angry, you know. I said to somebody, you know, you're making me angry. So if I have to say that somebody is observing that I'm getting angry, and who is that? That's me. So that person who is able to report that what is happening, these emotions inside, when you're getting angry, when you're getting greedy, when you're getting envy, when you're getting proud, when you're getting all kinds of experiences in the mind, somebody inside us is pointing out to us, look, you are getting angry, you know, or you are getting envious, you know. And that person is independent of the mind and is called Buddhi. So, earlier the eyes were the drik and the world was drishyam. Later on, eyes became the drishyam, mind became the drik. Now, mind has become drishyam, Buddhi has become drik. This is how that flow happens. So, and all the thoughts that's coming inside my mind, I'm seeing that with my Buddhi. Buddhi is seeing this. Sometimes we say that, isn't it? Oh, I don't know why I'm thinking about all these kind of things. So that means, if you have to say that, there must be another person who is observing the bad thoughts coming through the mind. Is it not? Otherwise, how could you say? Suppose you are in the mind, you are the mind, then you won't be able to say that. And you are not able to say that it was bad thoughts or good thoughts. So who is saying this? Good thoughts and bad thoughts, that's Buddhi. You see that logic, how it works. Then every stage, one becomes the drik, another becomes the drishyam. Another becomes the drishyam. So at this stage now, when different thoughts are coming through, with your intelligence you are saying, these thoughts are no good, I shouldn't be thinking like that. Or sometimes you say, that oh, I have some good thoughts came up to me today, this morning, and you are able to talk about that. That means that thoughts, when it came to your mind, your buddhi was independent. I was able to report about that. So now what has happened? Buddhi has become drik and mind has become drishyam. So, and this buddhi's capacity to know the reality, its existence, awareness of this capacity to discriminate and able to find out what's going through the mind, there is somebody else inside who knows how this buddhi is working. Buddhi's function is monitored another place. That is what Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Indriyani paranyahu indriyebhi parammana manasastu parabuddhi yo buddhe paratastusa. That's how yo buddhe paratastusa is para to buddhi. That is how you have, without drudrishya vivekam, if you read that verse, it will be not make much of an impact on people. That is why you have to remember, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but Upanishads. Upanishads will explain things in a total perspective, in relationship with our body and everything. Bhagavad Gita doesn't have the time for that. Krishna is expecting, of course, it's Krishna's grace that Arjuna understood everything straight away. Not only that, Arjuna is an educated person. He knows these things well. So, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, Krishna didn't have to explain all these things in relationship with Dridrishya Vivekam. Dridrishya Vivekam itself is a big book in the Vedantam to understand this. Therefore, you mentioned there that from the worldly object, the sense object, I, then the mind, then the intelligence, and finally the self. Finally the self. So, sometimes you will see that, oh, I can't remember now what was spoken. And I don't remember anything what I have read in the book. If you have to say that, there must be somebody else apart from your body and the mind and the intelligence who is able to talk about that memory, what was happening in the memory there. So, and he is called Sakshi, witness, witness to everything. So, Buddhi, you can see, Buddhi is also grown up with time, isn't it? When you were born, you had one Buddhi. When you grew up, Buddhi has also developed. Buddhi changes. Mind changes. Body changes. Sensual power also changes. When you get older, your vision goes away. Taste changes. Hearing power goes away. So look at yourself and see, everything else is changing, but that Sakshi, no change. Sakshi, no change. So you can see that depending on the different times in life, based on the food what you have consumed and the knowledge you have acquired at different stages in life, all these things has contributed to your growth and you have developed in a particular form in this life. So, but before all these things happened, buddhi developed, mind developed, body developed, senses developed. Even prior to all that, I was still there. Awareness was still there. And that I was that sakshi, or sakshi for the buddhi, and or that awareness or avabhodam, which was witnessing all these changes, what is happening in the intelligence, in the body, in the mind, in the senses, which was a witness all through. And that witness is, Hastamalaka call it as nijabhodharyupam. What he calls it as? Nijabhodharyupam. Naham manishyo najadeva yakshav na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudraha na brahmachari na grihi vanastha bichurna chaham nija deva bodharupam. So when he is saying that word nijabodharupam, you have to see the depth of that word, what it all implies in that. It is not something that rejected the body mind. It's not that rejection in that sense. What happens is that behind the existence of all these things, behind the existence of all these things, you will see that there is something existing in a much deeper level. That is how you become spiritually aware. Otherwise, most of the time, we are only aware of the body and the mind. To some extent, sometimes, if we use a little bit of this brain, then we say, I've used my intelligence, we say. But apart from that, how far are we connected with the self at any time? Never. Is it not? Totally occupied the whole day in protecting the body and maintaining the body, eating, sleeping, maintaining, like that. And then sometimes when we are emotional about something, at that time we think about the mind somewhat, how it is affecting me in the mind. So practically you can see majority of the time is in the body and the mind, and the body and the mind, sometimes in intelligence. But apart from the real I inside, I have no touch and no contact with him. So we will see that when we realize the truth, when self-realization comes, like Bhikshu says there, Bhikshu is mentioning to us some important things in his realization, how he progressed. We look at that now. Because when we go in further now with Hastamalaka, you wanted to know that how did he differ from Bhikshu. Bhikshu is our important personality in the Bhagavatam. Krishna has quoted Bhikshu, is it not? Bhikshu's life was a very interesting life for all of us to look at. And Bhikshu Gita, like there is so many Gita in the Bhagavad Gita. You got Brahmira Gita, Gobiya Gita, similarly Bhikshu Gita, another Gita, then Dattatreya Gita, Ayala Gita, Hamsa Gita. So many Gitas, a package of so many Gita is Bhagavatam, isn't it? So, when that separation comes from the mind, like the Bhikshu said, Bhikshu got completely freed from the mind. Bhikshu got completely freed from the mind. And it is not easy to come out of the mind. It's not easy. Because this close link with the vasana inside, that is a problem. And this can only go if you are very strong in your self-inquiry process. It can happen. Or the alternatively through Sharanagati, surrender. It has to be so good, that surrender has to be so good. So when the separation happens, Bhikshu says this in the Bhagavadam, when you are broken that connection with the mind, even if things are happening through the body, you will be able to act in this world with complete detachment. It's an important thing to know that. You may think, generally, we think like this. If I am not attached to something, how can I do anything here? Any karmam to perform, you need some identification with the karmam, with the body and everything. You may ask the question that if I have no attachment anywhere, no identification with the karmam, how can I engage in any karmam? This question will come. But only from realized soul they will give you the answer. They alone can tell you, because they are telling you from their realizations. What they are telling us is that when you are completely broken, your connection with the body, mind, intelligence and ego, and particularly ego, when that ego is completely dissolved and gone away, they are not even conscious of the karma that's flowing through that body. That you have to understand how it happens. I'll give you an example. And if this example, if you are able to understand it, you will get it. If you didn't get it, then can't do anything about it. It's the way it is spoken. There was a very wealthy zamindar. You know what zamindar means? Zamindar means a big landlord-like person who's got a, he was a very wealthy landlord. He has a lot of land, lot of wealth. But at the same time, even though all things were there, he was very interested in the spiritual life as well. And he had an interest for satsangam. This happens with people. Sometimes they had a lot of wealth, but they were very interested in satsangam also. So what he used to do, this happened in Haridwar actually. He used to invite lot of sannyasis from Rishikesh and Haridwar, and he used to give them nice prasadam, everything. And he used to ask these sannyasis to instruct him in spiritual life. That was, he enjoyed that, their association. Somewhere, although he had all this wealth in him, inside somewhere there had a tremendous attachment for rishis and sannyasis and sages and personalities like that. So he used to invite them, and they called them for bhiksha, for giving them bhiksha. So he used to invite them. In North they call it as bhandar. And they'll give them nice prasadam, depending on how many people and according to his calculations, whatever it may be. Chapatis and nice sabjis and some sweets. And then he used to give the sannyasi some saffron clothes as well, and then some cash as a dakshina. He used to give it to them like that. It was his way of showing his interest in spiritual life. So anyway, he used to do that, and many people used to come for that in his place. And particularly on Dwadashi day, he used to do this after Ekadashi day, considered good. So one day he invited like this many sannyasis, and even now it is there. But many years before, in Haridwar and Rishikesh was full of sannyasis lived there, particularly Rishikesh. And they will, if they are invited, they will come and they will accept the bhiksha from the. So, and sometimes he will ask them, please speak something from the shastram. He doesn't have time to read books or to. He thought that sannyasis can impart some spiritual understanding to him. So he was willing to listen, and they will speak. Somebody will speak from Bhagavad Gita, somebody will speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, and some of them will speak from Ramayanam, Tulsidas Ramayanam. They used to read and they'll speak from that. So, and this was regular practice with this zamindar. Used to have that. So, one day, what happened was, he asked the sannyasis who were present there, he told them, I'm going to ask you for a favor, he said, that I want some spiritual instructions from a sannyasi who is very well renounced. Because my problem is that I am very attached in this life. I need some good instructions from a sannyasi who is very well renounced and detached from this world. So if any one of you who has that vairagyam, please instruct me like that. So what that old sannyasis were present there, they looked at each other and they suddenly remembered somebody whom they thought was very renounced. Among the sannyasis also there are renounced sannyasis, and there are also very materialistic sannyasis. In this world you will find all kinds of sannyasis. So our person, that the group of sannyasis were present there, they thought another sannyasi who was not there, they thought that probably we will ask him to come and give instructions to him. They thought like that, and they mentioned his name to the zamindar. So what the zamindar did was, then he invited all of them for another day, and he invited this particular renounced fully detached and renounced sannyasi also for bhiksha. Asked him to come. So, in those days the system was that when you are to honor somebody in a big way, that we are inviting hundreds of sannyasis, to the chief sannyasi you will serve him prasadam in a golden bowl. Golden bowl, you will give him the prasadam. So, so when this famous sannyasi, who was very renounced and detached, when he came, he was served prasadam in this golden bowl. All other sannyasis, they were given in the leaf. They were given on the leaf, like they do for, in Hrishikesh, you will see this all the time. They were given in the leaf. So, at that time he said, that sannyasi who had come, he said to this Jamindar, why do you give this to me in this golden bowl? I'm happy to have it, prasadam in the leaf, like everybody else. I'm nothing special. He said, he put it like that to him in a very modest way. He spoke like that. I'm not particularly more qualified than anybody else to have all these things. Not only that, he said, so, sannyasi should not accept all these things, this golden bowl and golden plate and everything. And saying all these things, saying that, he had his bhiksha. He had his bhiksha. So, after the bhiksha was, and so he refused to eat in the golden bowl. So he was given in the leaf like everybody else. If you understand the subtlety of this story, you will know what I am saying from this. Yeah. So after the bhiksha was over, the zamindar asked this sannyasi, says to him, please instruct me, he said. Now you instruct me, because I will be told that he is a sannyasi of a higher caliber, higher nature, renunciation. So the sannyasi said, what instructions can I give it to you? So he said, I need to have renunciation, detachment. I don't feel detached in my mind. I need some renunciation, therefore I am asking you. Everybody said to me that you are so renounced and detached from this world. So you know what the sannyasi said to him? He said to him, who told you that? He said, I am detached, renounced. He said, if I am detached, renounced, would I be coming here to eat your food? That was his question. He said, I won't be coming here to take you. I am not detached. That is why I am asking. That was his direct answer to him. So, and he says to him that if you have called me, I wouldn't have come. I wouldn't have come. What does that indicate? Because I don't have enough renunciation. That's what it is. Therefore I had come. And our zamindar won't leave him still. He said to him that give me some instruction still, because everybody else, this is how people are, you know. If the public makes a big propaganda about somebody, everybody will say, oh, we'll take initiation from him. Because everybody is taking initiation from him. Also, nothing else. People are just like sheep. They'll do things without any further thoughts as a person. And in this modern world, it's all propaganda, isn't it? How you can drum up. And if you have to know how to do it and get few people to do it for you, and they will do the rest of the job for you, and drumming up propaganda and propaganda and propaganda, and you become a mega guru or whatever you want to be, and then people will fall into it. You have to create that structure first to make that this seva, that seva, through the web and through the news, through the meeting the big personalities, prime ministers and presidents and big film stars. This is all a part of that game. You have to do that. So that is how you become that. You become popular in that way. It's nothing to do with spiritual life. It's all a part of the manipulating the system. So here what happened was that he told him, give me some instructions, he said. So he told him that don't worry about this vairagyam and all that. It is not that wherever, whatever situation you are situated in that stage, you remain in that state. And when you are ready for it, the right time when you are, when it happens to you, when you are ready for it, you will find someone to come and instruct you at that point. This is how this sannyasi told him in like that. He told him that knowledge is more important than vairagyam. He mentioned it to him like this. Knowledge is more important than Vairagyam, because if knowledge comes in, due to that power of knowledge itself, Vairagyam will come to you. He put it like that to him. Therefore, don't go after Vairagyam to that extent. He said all these things, but because of the social pressure, this person still, Samindar says, still give me some instructions, he said. So ultimately, he understood that he is not going to leave him. So what did he say? He said to him that I will suggest to you whom you should invite, another sannyasi. And Swamiji, you invite him and then you can ask him about it, whatever questions you have. So he gave him the other sannyasi's name. You have to remember in those days, when these things happened, there wasn't much of this propaganda like the way you can do it today. Today, through the text messaging and through internet, you have so many tools, isn't it, to make that, you can create a revolution in the world through internet and all that. So, Twitter, another one, Facebook, all these things are available today. Them days, sannyasis didn't have access to all that. Now sannyasis have got all these things. All sannyasis are on the Facebook now. All sannyasis are on the Twitter. They are all available on the email. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying how things have changed in this world. So in them days, these things are not there. So naturally, only through one person saying, through hearsay, you will get to know about somebody else, something else like that. So when he said about this another sannyasi, whom you should invite, so he took his own time and he decided to invite him and invite all other sannyasis also. The Samindar was very serious, was very much interested. So he went there to that Mahalma and he was a Egavastri. Egavastri means he has only one cloth to cover all his body. With one cloth, he's how much in that state? The Egavastri they're called. He was covering his whole body with this one cloth. Practically, he has become like children. A Mahatma like that, like a child. And so our Jamindar went up to him and invited him to come. And he told him that please come to our bhiksha at our place. And take the time and all other things. And he spent people to collect him and bring him all that. He said, oh, I'll come, no problem, he said. I'll come. So when he came on the particular day, when he had come, there were other sannyasis also coming. And this he noticed that he didn't have any kind of special nature in him. In other words, he was not feeling separated from anybody. He was coming with all the other sadhus, joking with them and making fun and everything. And in a very completely natural way, totally mixing with everybody else, he walked in with others. And he was enjoying also their company and in identification with them. So naturally our Zamindar arranged everything in the golden bowl, the prasadam, everything, and gave it to him. So when he gave it to him, and for others also, all, he gave it in the leaf, banana leaf or whatever leaf that was given at that time. And he didn't say, I want the golden bowl or anything. And when he was given the golden bowl, he didn't say anything. He happily took it from there. Prasadam he ate. But when he was eating, the Zamindar was looking at him. What is so? Because naturally, people are like that, isn't it? They think that they want to find out how is he eating. Like Arjuna asked, how does he walk? How does he speak? How does he? The same thing is working through their mind. So he's trying to find out what's so special about this. It's a realized soul they are saying. And I was recommended by another Vairagya sannyasi so strongly. But when he looked at him, he was like a child, this person. Was like a child. Child in the sense, children, you know how they are. When they are taking prasadam, they enjoy talking to each other and enjoying everything. And he also noticed that he will only ask for other dishes, what others are asking, he will also ask for that. Exactly like a child, he was behaving. And if everybody says, I don't want that, he also says, I don't want that, he says. So, everything he was looking at others, what others are eating, how they are eating, and he was making jokes all the time. And in this way, he was taking his prasadam. He was taking his prasadam. So, this seeing this happiness in him, our Jamindar started thinking, what kind of person is this? He couldn't figure out from this. What we call it as a causeless bliss. They were very, very happy inside. You can find out, you can understand, what is that making him so happy? He was so happy while taking prasadam and while chatting with others. And he found in him a completely unusual happiness coming up all the time in him. And have you noticed this in the Bhagavatam? When King Yadu met Dattatreya Maharshi, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see exactly the same problem. Problem, I'll tell you why it's a problem. That he mentions there that when this incident happened, it reminded him of this Dattatreya and Yadu. Dattatreya is lying in the riverbank, Kaveri riverbank, he is lying there, fully naked. Yadu goes up to him, that is in the 11th canto, it is on the 7th chapter, I think. In the 7th chapter you will see. Yadu is asking this question to Dattatreya. Dattatreya's body looks as though he had a good prasadam for a long time. He had eaten very well. And he says, Kudo buddhiriyam brahman akartu suvisharada yama asadhya bhavam lokam vidyam sharadi balavat. You are lying down here like a child and extremely in a blissful state. And what is that making you so happy? Who is asking this? Yadu. Yadu asked this Dattatreya Maharshi. He didn't know it was Dattatreya because you will see it there, the Brahmana Vacha. One Brahmana lying there. He had the trend on him but no clothes on. You will see the picture drawn on the Bhagavatam photos. It is drawn there, his picture. Dattatreya lying there and Yadu was the king, isn't it? Yadu goes there and seeing his happiness bouncing from inside. And he's asking, why are you feeling so happy? It is then that he so told him that that Tuntu Kalpa Kavir Daksha Subhago Amrda Bhashana Na Karta Nehase Kinchil Jedam Unmata Pishachavat. This was his state. Jedam Unmatam Pishachat. Like a devil lying there, enjoying himself. Nothing from outside, but some happiness inside, coming from inside. Janeshu dehyamaneshu kama lobha dava agnina na tapyase agnina mukto gangambasta iva dvibaha. That you have been caught fire, but na tapyase agnina mukto gangambasta iva dvibaha. Suppose you are right in the middle of Ganga river. Then even if there is fire everywhere, it won't affect you because you are right in the middle of Ganga river. You are protected. Similarly, in this material world, everything is burning here. Everyone is tremendous anxiety. Lot of anxiety about life, about their miseries of life, problems of life. And everyone is in serious condition here, worrying about many things, feeling the misery of this world. Right in the middle of this, you are so happy like this lying here. What is the secret? This was the question asked by Yadu, King Yadu, to that to Brahmana. So it was at that time that Tumhina Prachadam Brahman Almanyanandakaranam Bruhis Parshavihinasya Pavada Kevalalmana. Purely due to self-realization. This from Alma Anandam, bliss, shanti is coming. Not from outside source. And Yadu sensed that. So that's why Yadu asked that question. So it was the same thing that happened here also with this, our Jamindar. Jamindar couldn't find out what it is. Yadu was advanced in spiritual path, so he had more understanding. But Jamindar was completely lost. He couldn't understand where this happiness is coming from. He is so happy with everybody, and when prasadam was given, he had no problem, he ate it. So if it is golden ball, golden ball. If it's on the leaf, it's leaf. That kind of nature in him. So he says, so without any reason, he is feeling happy. And when he given the prasadam in the golden bowl, also he didn't say anything else. He didn't say, I'm happy with the leaf or anything like that. He didn't say. Whatever he has given, also he has eaten. He didn't say, I will only eat khichdi or I'll only eat some chapati or anything. No, no. Everything that was served, he has eaten that. And what has happened is, after everybody has finished prasadam, all those sannyasis who had come, the system was, after finishing prasadam, you have to fold your leaf, take it and go to the bin and put it in the bin. That whoever has eaten has to do it. Somebody else won't do it. So all other sannyasis were doing that. He also, after finishing his meal, he went there with his golden bowl and put the golden bowl in the bin. With all other leaf. He's doing exactly like the way others, everything, what others are doing, he's looking at it and doing that. So, always he's keeping an attention on everybody else. Everything looked very natural, the way he was doing it. Not that he's showing that he's equal to everything, but in a very serious way, just like children he was. Children are like that, isn't it? They will look at each other. When you are children, when you have to go for some public function, you don't know how to act there properly. So what do? You look at others. What other children are doing, you do the same thing. If they do some nonsense, you do the same nonsense. So the same way. Here, they have become like children. He has become like children. And he was eating the food like the way others were eating. So, here what has happened? Exactly like that, the way Balavat Kridanati. Like the children they have become. He has become like a child. Like in this 7th chapter, you see what he mentioned about, Yadu mentions about him. He says there that that Tvamtu Kalpa Kavir Daksha Subhago Amrdabhashana Na Kartanehase Kinjal Jada Unmatta Pishachavat Janeshu Dhyamaneshu Kamaloba Kamaloba Davagnina Nata Pesi Agnina Mukto Gangambasta Ivadvipa. Now, when he asked this question to the Tatramashi, Brahmana, how did he answer? He said, I have learned from 24 spiritual masters certain things. What is interesting about Bhagavatam is, everything is very formal. Have you noticed that? Informal, isn't it? What do you say informal? Informal means, it's not happening as though in a structured way. Like we do things, we build an organization, we want everything set up in the proper way. That you have courses, seminars, and then you want to teach people, and the person has to learn, and he has to sit for an exam. This is our way of doing things. But here you see, Yadu is traveling around, he meets somebody on the riverbank, he's asking this question. All meetings in the Bhagavatam, if you look, is like that. Everything completely in a informal way, isn't it? Nothing organized in advance. It just happened that way. From the very beginning itself, Parishad was sitting there, saying that in 7 days' time I'm going to leave my body. Sudev Goswami comes there. Was it organized by Parishad? No, it didn't. It just happened like that. Similarly, Bhikshu Gita, you look at that way. How did it happen to Bhikshu? It just happened like that. Krishna is saying, I saw this and I'm telling you this is what happened. That's how it is. So, this spiritual life has to be like that. Not the other way. If you make it the other way, you will not have the spiritual side in there. It has to happen in your own life in a natural way. When it happens, it will have its effect in you. Whereas if you set up institution and make it too much in that way, it's not saying that institution is all wrong. What I'm saying is, when you make this institution, you are also aware of this, the drawbacks of that. It will never allow you to come out of your circle. You will always remain within that circle of institution. You can't think anything outside that this is not how it happened in the past. So, Dattatreya Maharshi says there to him that I learned this from 24 people. I learned. It's not that he planned 24 only I will learn. There was no such thing. He met so many. Out of them, he picked these 24 in a very casual way. This is what I got from them, and I'm telling you. Otherwise, we will start thinking, oh, there's only 24 of them. You can't have one more, one less. This is how our mind works. But it was not like that. It so happened that in his journey, Dattatreya is saying there, that I had learned so many things from so many people, but right now, in my mind, these 24 are coming in my mind. And that is how he's explained that 24. And out of them, one he talks about is a child, Arbhagaha. Isn't it? Prithivi, Vayurakasham, Apagma, Chandraman, Revi, Patanga, Madhukul, Gaja, Harina, he says there, that, if you look at that, he says, Prithivi, Vayurakasham, Apagma, Chandraman, Revi, Kapotam, Ajagara, Sindhu, Patangam, Madhukul, Gaja, Madhuha, Harina, Meena, Pingala, Kumar, Kurara, Arbhaga. And Kumari, Sharagal, Sarpam, Urna, Nabhi, Supeshakrit. These are the 24 spiritual masters. He doesn't say spiritual masters as such. He says, Sandhime, Gurava, Rajan, Bahavo, Buddhi, Bhashra, Raha. My dear king, I have accepted spiritual instructions from them. When you say Guru, immediately what comes to your mind? Initiation and fire sacrifice. And his website and the name he has given you. These are all going through your head, is it not? As soon as you say Guru means all this. Why? Institution has put that on your head. That's the problem. That is not Guru. Guru means here, he's saying here, Sandhime Guravo Rajan Bahuvam Bahuvo Buddhi Bhashadaha Yado Buddhi Ubhadaya Mukto Adamihadan Shruno. I have accepted spiritual instructions from various places, sources. And some of these gurus are not even human body. Prithvi, earth, I have learned, is my guru, he says, Prithvi. Why? All five material elements, earth, water, air, ether, fire. Out of the 24, five of them are material elements. They are my guru, he says. I have accepted some spiritual understanding from them. This is how spiritual understanding should come to us. Not the other way. Everything given through the course and seminar and then you have memorized it verses and seminar and you preach to everybody else. That will not have any actual realization, won't come from that. Realization will only come in this way, like the way it's happened. So there he says, one of them is Arbhagaha. He says, Varteyatyaktamanam Sukhamadishishuvan Nisahayas Chareyam. Then he says there that Vartaya Tektamana Sukhamadi Shishuvan Nisahayas Chareyam. When I was walking, Dattatreya is saying, I saw a child playing. Arbhaga. Arbhaga means child. A small child is playing with his friends in the roadside. I sat there and I looked at him, he says. Why did I look at him? Because when I looked at him, I found I have something to learn from him. What is that? I want to be like him. In other words, whatever you may do in this world, that child, he played for some time, and then when he got tired, he left everything there and walked out from there. Didn't bother about anything. I learned from the child one thing. What is that? That I should do what I have to do here. I should not let anything to get inside me. I have nothing to do with anything what's happening. This I learned from that child. Vartaya tektamanam. And from that I understood, that child is very happy. He was playing all the time happily. And after the game was over, whatever he was playing, he finished it. Then he went home, took his food, and he went to sleep happily. I want to be like that, he says. Varteya tektamanam sukhamadishishuvan nisahayas chareyam. Nisahayas chareyam. Completely helpless, that child. Child was playing. When the playing game was over, he went back to his mother. Mother fed him. He took the food and he went to sleep. I want to be like, I learned that this is to be my situation in this world. This is a lesson he learned from him. So, what you're saying here is that the spiritual life also, that when you become a child, that bhavam, the mood changes, isn't it? So, this sannyasi, this old person, he has become like that child, what he was talking about. So, so when he was coming, he was still that child. Therefore, he came like the children, talking, joking, making tamasha, and enjoying the whole whole scene was enjoying. Whereas nowadays, sometimes you will see sannyasis, when you are thinking, sannyasi means he has to be very, very grave, isn't it? You shouldn't speak, you shouldn't smile. And then you should only speak few things, all in relationship with Krishna, nothing else. If you say one word outside that, then you are not able to offer him any. In our mind, we build up certain things about sannyasam, sannyasashramam, because this institution has created this misunderstanding in our mind. Institution does all that. And you start grading people. He is a senior devotee, he is a junior devotee, he is a senior sannyasi, he is a junior sannyasi. So many things. We make up all these things because we think in that structure we can operate freely. If you come out of the structure, you are lost totally. That is the problem. So that is why when this happened, that he kept looking, this Zamindar kept looking at this old man who is like a child, behaving like a, totally like a child, and seeing all that. So, and after when he did this, that he took his golden bowl and went and put it in the bin, like every other children have done that. So, and then when he came back, our Zamindar goes up to him and paid his obeisances to him. And he couldn't ask anything now. Because he's like a child, what will you ask him? See, if you want to ask something to somebody, there has to be a relationship like a teacher and a disciple, guru and the disciple, or master, teacher and the student. Relationship has to be there. Otherwise, how could you ask? How will you go and ask a child who is 4 or 5 years old anything? And his behavior was such, our Zamindar could not ask any questions to him. Up to now, he was pestering on everybody. Give me some instruction, give me some instruction. But seeing this child, he could not ask anymore anything from him. Because you can see that teacher-student relationship was not possible with him. So only thing is, when you look at him, he was feeling very happy. When somebody is very happy, you also feel better, isn't it? So, but when somebody is equally miserable, he will transmit all that misery to you also. So that is the reason that when he felt him very happy, he also felt very happy, but he couldn't ask anything. Now, even you want to ask that, instruct me something. What he said, that the sannyasi who came earlier, last time, first time, he is an embodiment of renunciation. This sannyasi who came later, he is an embodiment of knowledge. From this story, you have to understand what's the difference between knowledge and renunciation. The first one who came, he had vairagyam. He was an embodiment of vairagyam in him. This sannyasi is an embodiment of knowledge. Embodiment of knowledge. So, that is the important message. Nandadi nandadi nandatyeva. In the Bhajagovindam you will see there. And that is exactly what Krishna is saying in the third chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. If you want to understand this person, 17th verse, if you look, you will see there. Yastha almaradirevasya atmatriptascha manava atmanyeva santushta tasya karyam na vidyade. That is his state. See that verse? Yastha almaradirevasya atmatriptascha manava atmanyeva ja santushta tasya karyam na vidyade. Look at the translation. What Krishna, Prabhupada says there, that the Yastu Atmaradirevasyal Atmatruptascha Manava Atmanyeva ja santushta tasya karyam na vidyade. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. For him there is no duty. This verse is the exact representation of that person. Yastu Atmaradirevasya Atmatruptascha Manava Atmanyevaja Sandushta Tasya Karyam Na Vidyade. Tasya Karyam Na Vidyade. So spiritual life has to go in this way, not in the other way. Other way, if you do it, it will be like that for the rest of the life. It wouldn't make you any inspiration to go further in spiritual life. And that is precisely the reason in Bhagavadam, every example, if you look at it, it will all informal. All it's just happened, it happened, it happened. It was not pre-planned. Nothing was pre-planned in the Bhagavadam. And the way Krishna mentions everything there, Shukra Brahmarshi says that it happened like this. Once there was a personality called Sudama. He lived in Dwaraka. He says like that. And this Sudama was a friend of Krishna when he was at school. And then he continues with the incidents, what happened after that. Sudama was not planning to go. Nothing was happening. It all happened like this in his family life. He became so poor. And the wife wanted some help. So therefore Sudama decided to go to see Krishna. And every narration in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see things were just happening. And that is the way spiritual life has to be. Whereas if you organize spiritual life, the whole thing will flop. It won't work. It won't have the benefit what you should get from spiritual life. Because it won't affect you. You are just doing like a machine. You've been told to do like this and you'll do it. Nowadays everything is very structured, isn't it? People feel that if it is structured, everything is organized, they say. And structured, that you are going, making progress. No, it is the structured and organized things that eventually flops. That is coming from our training from the other world, working world. So we'll stop today, tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.